Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to the Cricket Show with Leon, Ivor, Audley, Simon, and Virgil. We are on every Sunday, streaming live for 3 hours from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Be sure to join us by calling 1-347-934-0226 or drop us an email at thecricketshow@comcast.net. That number again is 1-347-934-0226. Now here are your hosts, Leon Francis, Ivor Henry, Audley Watson, Simon O'Brien, and Virgil Francis. Please enjoy the show.
Pleasant good evening to all of you out there in Radio Land. It's another Sunday afternoon, the Sunday afternoon in which we intend to bring you all the happenings of cricket from around the world. But foremost in our minds would be the finals of the Caribbean T20 2012. Soon to be joined by Ivor, later Audley, Simon, and of course Virgil. Good afternoon to you, Brother Ivor. How are you? Okay, well, Ivor seems to be getting ready. I'll join him in a few. Want to just take this opportunity to ask God's blessing on the show, as we usually do every week. We pray, Father, that you may just grant us the wisdom, the understanding to produce another fabulous show. We pray that you may just inspire us to say the word that our listeners will understand and appreciate. We want to pray for those who will be joining us later, those who are listening anywhere they are over the world, and ask that they participate with us. We hope that you may make our show be one of the better shows that we have ever produced. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be accepted in your sight. Once again, I'm just going to call out for Ivor. He's with us, but probably away from the mic. Good afternoon, Ivor. Well, as is usual, we will be talking about a lot of things, but I'm sure foremost in everyone's mind will be yesterday's semi-final match, Jamaica versus Guyana. First thing I would want to say is that Jamaica were really favorites in my view. They had a good total. They scored some 183 runs for the loss of 6 wickets. Just to give you the details, Bernard, he was out without scoring. Gale was in his element. He scored a magnificent 122. His innings included 5 fours and 12 sixes. His strike rate was a massive 200. He scored 122 from 6-1 deliveries. Bonner was out after facing 2 deliveries for a duck. Hyatt went for 6. Lambert, he went for a breezy 23 from 17 deliveries. He included 2 fours and a 6. While Russell fell for 10 from 3 balls, a 6 and a 4. Then Elliott was out for 6. He was caught Permal ball beaten for 6. Then A.O. Thomas, he was not out and no score. There were 15 extras, 183 for the loss of 6 wickets. They scored at a rate of 9.15. And indeed, Gale's innings of 122 was really, really magnificent. I thought that was one of the better innings that he played. He also was very severe on a number of bowlers. But let me give you the bowling figures. Jacobs had 4 overs, 2 maidens, 14 runs, 1 wicket. Barnwell had 4 overs, 19 runs, 1 wicket. Beaton had 4 overs, 25 runs, 2 wickets. Bishu had 3 overs for 41 runs. He took 1 wicket. His economical rate or economy rate was 13.66. Crandon had 4 overs for 49 runs. 4 overs for 49 runs. 1 wicket. And Permal had 1 over for 28 runs. I say 1 over for 28 runs. That was a savage attack by Gale and him. Some 4 sixes and a 4. This, of course, his economy rate was 28.0. Looking at the batting, of course, we just highlight the innings. That stood out because without that 122 by Gale, obviously, that might have been not a good score for the Jamaicans. However, from all reports, 182 was a score that definitely was one that was more than defendable and one that we felt was outside the reach of the Guyanese. But they proved me wrong, and I'm sure they proved a lot of people wrong. Because when they replied, Christian went for 4, Griffin went for 41, Sawan again had not a bad match, he went for 19, Barnwell, he was run out for a magnificent 88, and I give you the details of his 88. Because he faced 49 deliveries, he hit 7 fours and 4 sixes. His strike rate was 179, 179. That was really awesome batting there by young Barnwell. Dean Ryan, he was not out in 12. And Johnson was not out in 12 as well. There were 11 extras. Total of 187 for the loss of 4 wickets. And if anyone were to have told me that the Guyanese would have achieved that total, I would have doubted them. But nevertheless, they did it. And the 187 came at a rate of 10.01 runs per over. Bowling for Jamaica, Santucci, 3 overs, 1 for 33. Economy, 11.0. He bowled a wide as well. Cotterill, he had 4 overs of 42 runs. He took a wicket. His economy rate was 10.50. And I cannot recall that Santucci has ever bowled that badly in, at least has been treated that badly in a match. Of course, he fell and injured his leg, and when he came back, obviously, he was not the same. However, his economy rate was 11, as I pointed out, and that of Cotterill, it was 10.50 he bowled. The other bowlers are Miller, Nikita Miller bowled 2 overs, so 20 runs, an economy rate of 10. Russell, 2.4 overs, so 17 runs. Economy rate of 6.37. Bernard, 2 overs for 28 runs. Economy rate of 14 runs. And Elliott, 3 overs for 24 runs. 1 wicket. Economy rate of 8. And Gale, 2 overs for 23 runs. 11.57. Indeed. A victory there for Guyana, and to me, unexpected, but well-deserved, because after they were really, really hammered by Gale all over the field, they not once did they bow their head. They stuck to their task and tried their utmost, although the goings were against them. They really held their own, and Guyana, who obviously they chose to field after winning the toss, one would have thought that perhaps they would have batted, but they again fielded first and limited, but Jamaica had a marvelous knock of 183. And obviously, we did not think that they would prevail, meaning Guyana, but they did. Player of the match was C.D. Barnwell. The umpires were T.J. Nero and J.S. Wilson. The match referee was K.P. Felix, and reserve umpire were Shiranda. So again, this set up a master finals today, including Trinidad and Guyana. Guyana is the only team to have beaten the Trinidadians at this format of the game twice. And the other team to have done so is the Windwards. But can they do it again today? It's left to be seen whether the Trinidadians will prevail. But on paper, the Trinidadians are looking very, very strong on paper. But as I always say, and others have been supporting this argument, that cricket is not played on paper. It's played in the field of play. And yesterday, Jamaica went into that game with, I guess, with a lot of confidence. And I thought that they would have really take it home. But life is like that. It wasn't to be. And again, the Trinidadians or the Guyanese prevailed. We're going to take a look later on the upcoming match, because we intend to be here looking at it and giving you our take on the match as it proceeds. But just to tell you today that the West Indies women also had a good showing, because after having won the T20 yesterday by 8 wickets, they came back today and they were able to defeat the South Africans again by another 6 wickets. Scores in that match: South Africa women 94 for 6, and the West Indies women 97 for the loss of 4 wickets. And they did so from 17.2 overs. So again, victory for the West Indies. As you know, the ODI series were drawn, 2 matches all, one was washed out. And the West Indies came back from that series having been 2 down and won the final, not the final, but the last 2 games that were played. One of the matches, the final was washed out. So again, the big crowd anticipating a good show were on show today to see the West Indies victory come through. Trust that West Indies will continue in this vein. I dare say, love the way the West Indies are batting, and they're going to be off to India to take part in the World Cup later this month. And I'm sure that they will be one of the top-ranking teams in the series. Chanel Daly, she was named the man of the player of the match today and player of the series. But it was an outstanding performance by the South African opener, Kap. She goes by the name of Kap. She took 3 wickets for 3 runs from her 4 overs. Marvelous, marvelous bowling. But were she on the winning team, I believe that would have been a foregone play of the series. But Daly had an outstanding performance too. And she also were there knockout to help the West Indies see victory home. So a little later on, we're going to be touching the upcoming match today, because we are hoping, as we say, to join over to Moose Jaw Stadium. We will be seeing the match coming out of the St. Lucia, and we shall be trying our utmost to give you the update. We take a look at some other scores. Well, there are other T20 matches played during the course of the week, and a number of people were not happy with the Barbados-Trinidad match. One particular incident which occurred when Dwayne Bravo was run out by Dwayne Smith. It was felt in some quarters that he shouldn't have done it, but according to the rules, he was within his rights to run him out, because it was noted that if a batsman who backs up too much and has been off of his grounds, out of his grounds, can be run out. And he did so, and Smith took the opportunity to run him out before his delivery was, he had his hands went over to deliver the ball, and he was out. And Smith had make no bones about it. He was very serious about running him out, because in some quarters, when a batsman tries to do that, it is considered cheating. My own view is, it doesn't, although I wouldn't really like to get a wicket that way, but it's the rules. The rules are the rules. And I don't think that a player should be out for that. And normally, you would have given him a warning, but you don't have to. And if Smith did not give him a warning, I wouldn't have any problems with it. But personally, I would not have been one who would have loved to get a wicket that cheaply. Warn him and tell him, listen, you stay within your grounds. And if that is the case, he repeats it, then I have no alternative but to run him out. But the rules are the rules. He was run out, and deservingly so, because what he did was tantamount to cheating, because he was getting an advantage to get a run. And if that's the case, Smith was within his right, as the rule states, that he should not be outside of his grounds. And I say Smith has later apologized, but the feeling at the end of the match was one that was not a very pleasant one, because a number of the players did not shake hands, and one would have loved to see when a team is defeated, you go back and you shake your hands and get and patch things up. So, but anyway, that's water under the bridge now. The teams are being, both teams are, well, the Barbados team is being knocked out, and they have no further part in the tournament, but it's left to be seen whether the other players and other teams will cooperate when they go on tour with the West Indies. So that be the case, I left Sleeping Dogs lying. But it's over now, and we are on to the final, the big finals today, and that match comes up at 6:50. We're hoping to be joining the cricket and give you our take on it, as the case may be. The number, I should give you the standings of the teams at the end of the preliminary round, because as we said earlier in a couple of shows, that there were seven teams involved, and the team which ends in the number one position will go into the finals. And we had the situation where Trinidad, they ended the preliminary round with 16 points. From their six matches, they won five, and one, there was a new contest. The one first match against Jamaica, that was washed out. The second place team was Jamaica. They had 17 points, and they had four wins, and they lost one, and they had a no contest. That's against Trinidad, 17 points. The third place team was Guyana. They had their six matches. They won four. They lost two. They ended with 16 points. The next team was the Windward Islands. They have played six. They won three, and they lost three. They ended with 16 points. And then Barbados, they had six matches. They win two. They lost four. And they had 8 points. Barbados, who started with a riot, meaning that they started very, very productively. They won, I think, their first three matches. They really manhandled the Leewards. And what happened? It boils down that in the end, they were not able to continue. But they ended with 8 points, which meant they were not able to go through to even contest the semifinal position. 8 points, they were out. The combined campuses and college, just they ended with 4 points. They had 6 games. They win one, and 5 matches were lost. So they ended with 4 points. And the lowly Leewards have played 6 matches. They won one, and they lost 5. They ended with 4 points. And the way the positioning is decided is that the team with the net run rate or the higher run rate is the one will be the place above the other. So in the case of the Leewards and the combined campuses, they had a better net run rate. And how that is computed, you divide the runs for by the number of overs, and the runs scored against them by the number of overs, the runs that they take the opponents to get those runs, and then you will subtract the one from the other, and you come with a negative or a positive result. So clearly the combined campuses were the better team in this respect because they had a net point negative 0.668, and the Leewards had a negative 1.597. So there it is. So that is as far as the standing, and as you know, we had the match which was played yesterday, and that was really a marvelous performance by both teams. Some 360 odd runs, near 370 runs were scored in a day, and for 20 over match, well, I tell you, that was outstanding. But I tell you, at this moment, I'm going to pause for a while and be right back as we continue our show. I say at this point, we're hoping to be joined by Iva. I know he's with us, but he's probably not ready to join us yet. So when he does, we will obviously be bringing you. I want to just take word out and just play my favorite guy. I like to talk about Shiv Narayan, but no. Let's go and give you another. Let's talk about some more songs that we haven't played for a long time, some of the real cricket songs. But before I do that, I'd like to say that we want to thank those of you who have helped us in the past to make our show a success. It has been a wonderful 2 years and coming on 3 years that we have prevailed. We're hoping to be joined by, hoping to continue to push our show. But let's say that we are happy, and I know you have heard this song along many times. You've heard that we're happy, and we have not, or let's do the hat trick ball that was done, and that is, will give us a little time to get our house in order.
The telephone, the number here to call, it's 347-934-0226.
And Saeed Akhtar is gone. Saeed Akhtar ball, first ball from George. And the USA All-Stars losing their second wicket. That's from Saeed Akhtar, the legend from Pakistan. Ball, first ball, off them, out of the ground. Ivor Henry, it is 24
for
two.
Eddie, and believe it or not, in the 2020, we are up on a hat-trick here for the young man. Bim George. So George is hovering over a hat trick, and like you said, Eddie, money talks, and the car walks, Eddie walks, but we know that money talks. $75,000 of grab for the winner here. There is a man for the most wicked. There's a price for the most wicked. There's a price for the most wicked. Let us see. We shall see what we shall see. Eddie, it's hat-trick ball coming up.
So Shaib Akhtar coming forward and George beating the defense and uprooting the off-stump out of the ground. And certainly that is a bit of a bad news for the USA All-Star team. New batsman out in the middle. The man wearing the number 3 jersey. This is God from the umpire. Umpire Smythe. Oh, Aziz. So, Zaidi takes his guard from the umpire, settles over. George goes between the umpire and the both to Zaidi, and there he is, roll! And he gets a hat trick, creating hysteria, pandemonium here at the Central Broward Regional Park. George, first hat trick of the tournament, and certainly Ivor displays. Is in a uproar, pandemonium, cantinal, at the over, there he goes.
Trinidad and Tobago, there you go, the defending champions of the US Open 2011. Here they are, fighting for all of the marbles here. George boarding all his squad, putting Trinidad in a winning position early. And I think Liam himself is going to be leaving house in a while, but at least he was on hand to see the hat. Leon, I'm going to ask you to say your parting words now that we have a new batsman coming into the wicket. So, Leon, for all of the fans out there,
I have to go a long way, and I have an early morning to take care of some events, so I have to leave at this point in time, but I want to take the opportunity to thank you, to thank Eddie, Jack Daddy,
so here is
and
George now, to Amir Siddiqui coming forward and turning off the pad into the onside. So the end of the over, the end of a very successful over, historic over, I might add, from young George, from the far end, in which he picked up 3 quick wickets. In hat-trick style, Trinidad and Tobago having the USA All-Star pinback on their heels.
Yes,
it's
indeed, Eddie.
Ivor.
Yes, indeed, Eddie. And I'm going to allow Leon to just say his goodbye.
Okay, Eddie and Ivor, we want to just take the opportunity to thank you both for what a wonderful job you both have been doing. I have to depart at this stage, and I just want to thank Danny as well for all the wonderful commentary that you have been bringing. We want to thank those who have made it so possible for us to bring this live broadcast. And on my way, I will be definitely listening to all the news that will be coming via the broadcast. So good luck, and continue to do the good work, and I will be hoping that everything goes well until.
So Bob Walter continue between the umpire and the sums. Both to Sakir. Sakir for this delivery, standing up straight, pushing down towards the short middle position. The man coming around knocks it down, and Sakir cannot get a single. So the total remains on 24-3. And this ground is at a buzz. Shockwave going through the USA All-Star dressing room right now. And certainly one can imagine the reason or reasons why. Here is Babu now, that captain between the man and some balls to Akil, and he swings it away out towards it back with a 5th strand. 6 runs. The signal comes in now from umpire Prasad and Ivan Henry. That was a good looking shot from Akil.
Yes, redemption. Change of fortune, change of tide. We saw wickets tumbling here. Please strike you out. Free the hard way. Please, company, whatever you want to call it, it's a hat. It's so hard to get 3 wickets in 2020. Never mind to get 3 wickets one behind the other. So,
you can call me anything, but don't call me collect. And certainly, it is what's been done here. Here's Bob Waldo. Between your pants on both two. Sakir is full defense. They're pushing it out into the inside. bad ball comes across field to his own bowling, and the batsman can get no run. The score remains on 30 for a loss of 3 wickets. And
I'll break now because we've been joined by Ivor. Good afternoon to you, Ivor. How are you? Yeah, I wonder if I'm being heard. I don't know if I'm being heard, but I...
The ball is racing away. It hit the boundary board just about now. The signal comes in from umpire at the striker's end. Four lovely runs to Zakhele. Ivor.
Yes, they informed Zakhele. It was very unfortunate that he got run out in the semi-final game there, but fortunate for him that his team won. He is still there. Once he's there, a respectable total can be had. But Eddie, just before I say that, my score, my wife, David Maitland, told me I forget the Three Stooges.
Well, whatever you want to call them, you certainly would be within that right. They certainly look like it. And I have absolutely nothing different to say, but to watch Babu comes in between the hands of both of the kids to turn it off the pad. It's a wide delivery signal and call by umpire Prasad out of Trinidad and Tobago. And one more to the extras. One more to the total. The total is now some 35 for a loss of 3 wickets. USA All-Stars. Yes.
Anyhow they come, Eddie. Extras. Wides. Buys. It's added to the total.
Babu now between the fans, some balls to Zakhele. Zakhele is forward defensive onto the front foot, pushing it back along the track. The bowler comes across and again, feeling to his own bowling. Again, Zakhele can get no run. The score remains on 35 for a loss of 3 wickets. USA All-Star winning the toss. They slide at the bat first and they're struggling. They're reeling. 35. Here is Babu now between your brand and some. Both of Zakhele and Zakhele stands up straight, punching out in towards cover, right in it. And at the end of the over, at the end of a very tidy over from Captain Babwa, the end of it, after winning the toss, he left at the bat first. USA All-Star, some 35 for the loss of 3 wickets. Ivor.
Yes, and they're going at 5 runs and over, Eddie. 35 from 7 overs. And I can say here, as long as Zakhele is there, I think a respectable total would be had. He is the informed batsman of the tournament. And I can say Trinidad and Tobago are the defending champions. They've had their moment. The pendulum swung their way with 3 wickets in a row. But now Zakhele is there. He's swinging the ball over the fence. He did not do that in the last over, but he would have done that in the previous over. They still hope for the U.S. All-Star, Eddie.
So, George, to continue from the northern end. He's bowling left arm around the wicket between the umpire and the stumps. He'll be bowling to Siddiqui. Is he now on his way to bowl to Siddiqui? Siddiqui looking to turn into the onside. Didn't make contact. So Siddiqui and Zakhele having a little cut between the wicket. It was short-lived. And Siddiqui goes back to his batting crease, goes back towards his wicket. Settles now with the arrival of George Hughes. He now turns all the pads out towards the short mid-wicket position. And of course, they can get a single. So the total remains on 35 for 3. And if you're listening up in the Caribbean, whatever, wherever you might be, Siddiqui plays this one out towards the cover region, and again they cannot score. So the clamp being put onto the hands of the USA batter, the shackle, if you may, for lack of a better term. And Siddiqui now continues to try to improvise. Here is George now between the umpire and the stumps, off a short run ball to Siddiqui, and Siddiqui again pushing out into the covers, and again he finds the man in the way, and again he cannot get no run. The score remains of 35 for 3. Siddiqui settles into his stance now with the arrival of George. Here is he now. Three numbers on both to Siddiqui, and Siddiqui is wrapped in the pad. There's a loud appeal, but not outside umpire Smythe. That delivery was going down the line of the leg stump, and the appeal went up. And umpire Smythe nodded in the negative. The score remains on 35 for 3. Siddiqui is in problems. He cannot handle George. The field is well set. Cover, extra cover. There's a third man. There's a deep cover. Here is George now between the umpire and the stump. also Siddiqui in the game. He didn't recover. And this time, Siddiqui gets it past the infield. Just a single, the end of the over. Siddiqui gives a strike. The total won by one to some 36-3. I saw.
And the impressive George would have bowled his allotment of four overs. And I'm not making up this, folks. Four overs. No men. 9 runs. 3 wickets. And those 3 wickets was all in a row as it was bowling in a bowling alley. All 3 pegs were down. All 3 stooges were over. Everything was 1, 2, 3. You know the song, 1, 2, 3, roll back, let me see. Everything was 1, 2, 3. But anyway, that's an impressive piece of bowling. 4 overs, 9 runs, 3 wickets. Over number 8 has been in the book. And
so we're going to have a change of bowling. It's going to be Samaru, who is going to pick up the attack from the commentary back then. And Samaru will be bowling to the tentative Siddiqui. Settles into his stance just about now. Taps away at the crease, await the arrival of Samaru. Here is Samaru off a short run past the umpire. Both of Siddiqui and Siddiqui and driving out towards long on. His runs here at least one. Pulls the man off the long on boundary. So one to Siddiqui, one more to the total. It takes the total now to some 39.
Well, we'll pause because we're being joined by Ivor. And good evening to you, Ivor. I know you have a lot of thoughts in your head about not only the surprise victory for the Guyanese last night, but also about the tournament. What is your take? Perhaps you want to say hello to your well-wishers and fans across the world.
Yes, indeed. And to you too, Leon. I'll start saying good afternoon to you and to everyone in the diaspora, everyone in the world, everyone who is on the sound of our voices here. I'm going to always remember to give thanks to those who are listening. And remember that you're the guys who really make the show out there. Well, Leon, I'm saying this Martin Luther King weekend, the president inauguration, it's a lovely weekend here in North America. And wherever you are, I'm going to really hope that you yourself are enjoying the weekend. A little further
One thing that shocked me, I really didn't realize that the president has already been inaugurated. Are you aware of that? That the ceremony has already taken place? I just saw on the TV when you mentioned that a while ago. I was looking forward to tomorrow night, but I saw that there was a short ceremony. But nevertheless.
Yes, well, like I was saying, even a little further afield, back in Little Nevis, giving a little press here, they're having elections coming up on Tuesday in the tiny island of Nevis. And I'm really hoping for it to be a peaceful one. It's heightened tension there because... you know, it's a snap election, let's put it this way, because they only had one in 2011. And now, because of some court ruling, you know, there's got to be another election. First, it should have been a by-election, but then the Constitution calls for an island-wide election, and the Prime Minister, they opted for that. So we are asking for peace to be,
peace.
You know, restored to the island, and... It's not in an uproar physically, but, you know, the tension is there mentally and people's emotions are running high, you know. How it is an election, especially where colors are concerned. One party is green, one party is blue. So that in itself brings a little something. But nonetheless, we are here to warm the hearts of many. The West Indies are in full swing here, and we all know they are world champions in this format of the game. So... Then I'll jump right into the thick of things. The championship game.
Let me ask you a little bit about Nevis. If you were in Nevis, whom would you be giving your allegiance to if you were there for the election?
The
I don't know much
Nevis
about
the Reformation Party led by Joseph Walcott Parry. Allegiance is to that party. And
for
Nevis. This time and in the future, I honestly believe that with all my heart.
Well, the world will hear your pick and they will... Probably your fans will tell them how to cast their vote. So I leave it to them to do their business. And as you were saying?
Yes, I was saying I'm going to really commend the West Indies Cricket Board. I'm going to commend the Trinidad supporters and now the St. Lucian supporters who have been out in all their numbers supporting West Indies cricket. And I must say thank you to ESPN as well, because they've been bringing the matches live for all of us to see. So I have to say it's an upward swing for the West Indies Cricket Board. It's an upward swing for cricket in the Caribbean. And I said earlier, we are the world 2020 champions. And the match that was played last night, you reported on it earlier, Leon, to realize some over 300 runs and a winner coming from the rear end, having chased the ball all day long in the field, to come back with enough stamina to overhaul 182, I think it was phenomenal. But then again, my individual take on that match, when you're hitting sixes, you're not working out the fielders. You, the only persons who are in danger really are those who are sitting in the crowd and maybe outside of the stands, or if anyone would have been on the rooftops. So Diana, in my mind, were left with a lot of energies because the ball boys and the spectators were the ones who were retrieving the balls when Gale had them flying all over the Bushra Stadium. Now, having said that, Diana had to hold their nerve. And I have to use this name if I'm permitted to do so. Diana went into that match using Daring Sammy's freeze. Never say die.
Mm-hmm.
Went into that inning with a never say die attitude. It was shown yesterday. And in my little experience here when it comes to cricket, as I know it, cricket is a team sport. Gale played for Jamaica as an individual, which Jamaica sat back and enjoyed his heroics. Guyana went out and played as a team where their batsmen, or batters as they now prefer to be called, got together and built partnerships and worked the ball around in a manner where they can surpass the Jamaican score, which was, I can say, Gale's score, because he scored over 80% of the ones that were placed on the board. Good for him, good for West Indies. But I am saying here and now, let us not go back to the days where we had a Brian Lara, a Shubh Chandrapal, Chris Gayle, and a Sarwan. Individually, they were doing well for themselves, averaging over 40 runs in Test cricket. But West Indies were hovering at the bottom of the ladder, because as a team, the other batsmen who would have batted with these individuals too often become spectators at the other end. And I would always say, Leon, you can attest to it, no one individual is going to beat 11 people who are rowing the boat going in the same direction. It is not, they're not going to win many matches that way. The one-off match, yes, you can single-handedly probably win a match now and then. But the formula for winning has got to be team, because cricket is a team sport. Now, on to tonight. Diana, in my mind, is going to take the momentum from last night and even from the previous night when they came home against the Windward Islands on a canter with a nail biter. It was a low-scoring event. But a win is a win. And if you win by one, one ball off the last ball, whatever it is, a win is a win. And in my mind, they are going in very, very confident. They are match ready. In the meantime, it may very well be unfair to Trinidad, who has done well in the competition, but they've been sitting idle for the past couple of days or nights, as the case may be. So if they are ring rusty, if they are well rested, we shall see a little later on, because then, as you know, we are going to be trying to bring ball-by-ball coverage. And I dare say, I think we're going to go over past the 9 o'clock hour, so we might ask listeners to stick and stay until we turn to the phones onto the airwaves after the 9 o'clock hour. And, well, it will be 10 o'clock for those in the Eastern Caribbean.
We will have
fun. Nutshell, that's my take on what's been happening, Leon. Congrats to the ladies for sweeping South Africa in the 2020 format. They would have shared honors in the 50-over format, 2-2. with one being washed out. And all this is in preparation for the World Cup in which will be held in India shortly. So let us hope that the ladies would, who are playing as a team, because see, Tiffany Taylor, the world's number one batter at this time, all rounder, she was not even the MVP in this game, in any one of them. She was not the series MVP, but yet West Indies became victorious. So I think the formula for winning again is not surrounded by one individual, and if you are number one in the world eyesight or by record or for whatever reason, the other girls are not being you know, tarnished by whatever is happening around them. They want to put their input, and this girl, Dutton, and man of the series, or woman of the series, to be politically correct, would have gone out and would put her name up in the foyer to say, I am here, I'm part of the team. And the Tiffany Taylor failed, as she made the lucky 13 today. She was able to come in a little further down the order and watch the team take it home.
Yeah,
so,
Just 2 points. Stephanie Taylor and Aguilera, the captain, they were both sick. Stephanie didn't play in this match today, and Aguilera could not even make the presentation at the presentation ceremony. So I don't know if they have an injury, but I do hope that if that is so, that they'll be healed in time for the World Cup, like you mentioned, in India later this month. So it's hopefully, I think they will be ready. Then
well, at least Tiffany was able to accept on behalf of the captain and the trophy. But if I may say this on air, I just believe it's that time of the month for ladies, and I think they would have mentioned something. If you've done external blow or something, I think that would have been mentioned. So I want to believe it's a woman matter. That is affecting her non-existence, because at least Tiffany Taylor, she was able to at least present herself, accept the award,
right,
the trophy. And I think that some people, you know,
can
handle things more than the other. So I don't think it's anything to really worry
anything
about.
Anything too serious to write home about.
Right. I don't think it's anything. Because trust me, if you would have been a twisted ankle, a busted toe, or
she would have
or something. Yes, they would have mentioned that. But I just think it's something of you know, woman thing. I think that's what it is. Personally, I think that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope I'm correct on this thing, because
need
her captain. She's been the captain of the West Indies woman team for quite a long
while.
And
the captain and the vice captain too.
Right, and the vice captain and the captain. And Leah, you know what this says again? And this even strengthened the West Indies team even a little further. Here they are without the captain and vice captain. Just like Guyana, without the most experienced batter in Chander Paul, still came to the forefront and decided, we are going to play and try to win this match, even the presence of Gail playing in his first match, second match, that is, being, you know, like a tiger. He was like a tiger on the loose. And then knowing that the tiger in Chander Paul were not in the lineup, but yet they came out to play. And that speaks well for teamwork and for West Indies cricket, both on the men's side and on the women's side. In this case, both for Guyana and the women, the ladies' cricket. And I
Not only that, Ivor, another point too. And Sawan was not at his best too.
For the whole tournament, he was not at his best. Well, talking about Sawan here, let's jump into that. Since we would have exhausted, I don't hope that we exhausted it. So we can't say too much about the ladies' victory. But let's jump into Sawan. Sawan has been selected amongst the squad to go on to Australia. And this is probably his fourth going on to Australia. And do you know, in test one days and everything, Sawan has only hit 2 half-centuries in Australia?
Yes.
Now, I always say horses for courses, eh? And I have nothing against Sawan. I know mentally he was saying that he was messed up and he spent all 3 days in his house, couldn't come out after the World Cup. He thought the coach would have said some things pertaining to him as a senior batter in the World Cup in 2000, just the other day. But Leon, I am saying here, I think he would have got picked on the notion that he did well last year in England.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think he would have got picked in the absence of a Marlon Samuels, for he would get in because of his experience playing over 100 and something one day, maybe 180 probably. I don't remember the number for now, but he's been around. But I always use this phrase, horses for courses. The Australian bouncy wickets, Dhawan has been hit a few times. Dhawan himself, if you ask me, I don't think that he's mentally ready from what I've seen. He has scored some, probably about what? Maybe 60 runs in the whole tournament from about 7 innings.
Yes, 56 to be exact.
Okay,
from
56
seven
to be exact.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a senior man in the team. And apart from the 56, is that 56 good-looking runs, Leon, if I may say that myself? You know, it's a struggling, weary-looking 56. But yet we are going on to Australia with him. Now, I think the buck starts here. He's in the squad for tonight. Perhaps Sander Paul again with a hamstring, left hamstring to his thigh. May very well not be playing.
No, he is definitely out. Sander Paul is out.
Sander Paul is definitely out.
Yeah.
So here it is where Dhawan and his experience has got to come to the front tonight. He has got to come to the front tonight because when are we going to Australia? The end of this week or next week? Early next week,
yeah,
at least, right?
It's Wednesday they leave for Australia, as far as I know.
Okay, so if you're not going to be doing well on flat pitches, because forget about the Trinidad, which, you know, was a lot of rain, slow turn and all the stuff. Now we had some lovely batting strips in St. Lucia, and someone still has not looked the part. I am calling on him tonight to really come good for his sake, for Guyana's sake, and now for West Indies' sake.
Tony Kocher wrote today, Australia has never been good to him. In 8 tests and 3 ODIs on 3 previous tours, he has managed just 2 scores of 50, the highest being 62.
Well, I just said that. So Tony Kocher, he went to the record, but, you know, I would have known that because I try to follow West Indies cricket, and these are the guys who you really look at. Many times I would have said he would have taken Ranaka Morton's place, and I really think many times Ranaka Morton would have done much, much better than a Dhawan, especially on those hard bouncy pitches in Australia and New Zealand in those parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And Dhawan, they persisted with Dhawan, not only as a player, but as captain for a while, and vice-captain on the ladder for quite a long, long time. And I thought it was unfair to cricket and unfair to the late Ranaka Morton. So that's why I can call on him to say, he has not done well in that part of the world. Now, with all of his experience, the form he had in England, let us hope that he comes to the fore for West Indies' sake and his sake, because I'm saying it now, Leon, on this cricket show.
Mm-hmm.
This do or die for Ronnie Ranaka Dhawan. This is do or die. It doesn't come
Ranaka, right?
Well, Ronnie. I really wanted to say Ronnie.
Yeah.
You know, so Ramnawish Ronnie Dhawan, this is do or die for him. Because
exactly.
This is his third coming. He had a second coming, Leon, after the World Cup. And he failed miserably. He has not done anything in the West Indies and for West Indies. He would have done something for his team in England, for his county team in the second division. And cricket is cricket. And sometimes it's harder to play in England. So that would have counted for his inclusion. Plus, Marlon Samuels is out. So in terms of seniority, in terms of experience, I think they opted for him, the selectors. And another thing, they try to say, he's not an outcast. Even though he would have opposed the guy in a cricket board, he would have opposed the coach, he would have opposed West Indies cricket and the selectors, because remember this, Liam, He said in England, when we were failing miserably in England against England, he said if called upon,
he would not
represent the West Indies. Mm-hmm. These are some harsh words. And for you to come back under the same setting, because the same coach is there, the CEO is not there, but the CEO is not a part of the administration in terms of being on tour and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he's now coming back into the fray under the same coach, under the same president, under the same West Indies board, let's put it this way. But he would have said, I will not be giving the West Indies cricket my services, if called upon, while I was in England with my back full of runs. Don't know what would have changed his mind, because Gale would have returned if he wants to return to. Dwayne Bravo would have returned and would have fit in quite nicely. As a matter of fact, Dwayne Bravo returned and would have been elevated to vice captain. So West Indies are showing everyone that they're not discriminating. They're not holding on to past grudges. They're not holding on to anything. They're not even being insular. They're saying, yeah, West Indies player, if you are up for being selected, if you come into the view of the selectors, they're picking you regardless. It's up to you to come and bring your A game.
Mm-hmm.
So Star One now, and everybody in the West Indies should say, the West Indies Cricket Board, they're either on a mission to get rid of Star One once and for all, or they're telling us, regardless of what one would have said in the past, we are very forgiving, and we're just like water under the bridge. We think you're best suited for the team at this time, and we are picking you and hoping that you do well.
You mentioned something about his second coming, and Tony Kozier was right with you in that too, because here he's saying in his final over or his final paragraph in his article today, Sam Wells has set the example of what can be achieved in the second coming. Remember now, Sam Wells was banned for 2 years and he came back and did well. Now that he's absent, Sawan has his turn. So,
well, so, this is Sawan's third coming. So, well, unless you want to say the second coming was when he was recalled.
Right.
But we have to say, he started off,
mm-hmm.
to me, Sawan came into West Indies cricket team and to the back door.
But Sawan get more help too than many more cricketers. I remember Sawan was sent to Australia to get coaching. You know, and how many players went to West Indies board paid to send them to Australia? He was sent to Australia.
Yes. Yes. But
to break you a while, because the toss has been spun and Ramdin won the toss. Don't know what he will do at this point, but the toss has been shown on the live screen. And
yeah. Well, let's see if we can join the radio commentary.
Okay.
The ball, do something rash. He kept a very cool level head and made his move at the right time against the right bowler. And he sort of really started last night with the bat. He also hit ball right. He got the ball to move around early on. And he had a really good all-round performance. So we're just about ready to start. Let me say hello to all of our listeners on Windies Cricket Radio. The news is that the Trinidadians have won the toss. They're fielding. They're playing a side that has one change to it, in that Jason Mohammed, the right-handed batsman, comes in to replace the left-arm spinner, Otley, back. Trinidad and Tobago looking to strengthen their batting. And Guyana playing an unchanged side. No Shivraj Chandrapur, you think that's going to be significant? To say to see, Chandrapur, he's been batting well. And he got a few runs in the tournament. And Shiv is always a solid player. He's always a player that with a lot of class, a lot of experience. And I would think that he would certainly be a player that they would love to have in the side. But, you know, they have to go there now and do it, Guyana. And whoever is taking his place will have to look to perform.
So we're just about ready to start the grand final between Trinidad and Tobago and Guyana. And Gustard and Baffett are the umpires for this match. And Factor, this will be Baffett's third. Rising star, they're telling me, comes from Barbados and one who is highly thought of, and he's getting the finals. We've got a slip, white third man backward point. There's a short extra cover. There's a mid off. There's a man at whitish mid on, and there's a mid wicket already, forward square really, and also field on the just inside the circle at short fine leg. A big crowd has gathered, and we're looking forward to a fascinating battle. Television commentators, they're all saying that Trinidad and Tobago will win this contest. We'll see what Wayne Daniel is saying. Can we ask the question of you, Wayne? Well, they certainly start as favourites, Trinidad and Tobago. But as I said, you know, I would back them. You know, they have a record that they haven't lost any games.
No,
they have a first record in the tournament. They're just about ready for the first ball. And the crowd is excited. Gabriel will bowl to Christian, the right-hander. In comes Gabriel. Here we go. Comes up now. Bowl to Christian. Christian gets the ball. Bang on target. Well bowled. He was a bit quick. And he went on the back foot, having to hurry that back defence. Plops the ball in front of him. And a good start here for Gabriel. Yes, bang on target. That ball was on the middle stump. And Christian got into line nicely. And defended. We've seen Gabriel bowling, opening the bowling from the media centre end in the other matches, and bowling a lot of short balls, pitched with a bit of pace and bounce. The big man starts to move it again on his way to bowl to Derwin Christian. He goes past the umpire now, in bowls to Christian. Christian is driving outside the off stump, loose to the ball, goes by to be taken by the keeper. Ripping that out from the rally off stump, a big drive from Christian. Yeah, he went at it hard, Christian, and didn't make any contact, but it was up there. Good carry to the keeper as well.
Yeah.
So, Trinidad Tobago winning the toss, they elect him to field here. Guyana, they love to chase, so I suppose they want to upset the plan of the Guyanese. Gabriel inside the circle now turns and starts to move in. The ball to the right-handed Christian, not a run scored as yet, third ball. On his way to bowl to Christian, up to the wicket, he's in bowl to Christian. Christian is peaked outside the off stump with a good delivery. Clear at that, then Daniel, then two to the second, London. Clear rather loosely too. The length was good, back of the ball, on a good length. And Christian looking to play a cautious shot through the offside. The ball before that was of a fuller length, and I could understand him looking to drive it through the offside. But that one was a good length. And he went after it, and I thought a bit loose on that occasion. There's a slip in play, but good start by Gabriel. Good line, good length on that off stump, good pace.
But he's going to come in again. The fourth ball of the first over comes in to bowl to Christian. He's up to the wicket, bowls to Christian. Bowls off, driven up the cover. Second is catch. Sometimes commentators can be fooled by that. It was hit into the ground by Dr. Cover. And there's a roar around the ground because some thought it was a catch, some was not.
Yeah.
So, four balls at all. So, thought he might have done very well.
A lot better with that. Just didn't get the placement. Struck it straight to the fielder in that cover region.
Like this to Muhammad as well. Pin the side to say to Notley. Now, the pin on same side. Here's Gabriel, the first over. So start his run again, looking to keep things tight. Comes in to bowl to Christian, and to this delivery, short goes back. Good delivery, bang on target, good pace. And he pokes the ball in front of him, the ball hustle onto him as well. And there's no run, got five balls, and Ghana have not fought off the markers yet. Wayne Daniel.
Yes, because the line and the length has been good by Gerber. Good pace as well. That delivery came back into Christian and didn't offer him any room at all. And he could only stab it onto the pitch. But Gabriel is starting this evening by looking to hit the right areas.
Well, there are such an indemnity who have come in for this match. Love them at the hotel. And having a lot of fun and rock today. Here's Gabriel. Comes the last ball, the first over. In ball to Christian. Short. Christian's covered up. Pushes the ball away on the on side. Down to short. That was clear for the first run. But what was evident about that first over was that the length was good. And he's also very pissy. And hustling the back. So at the end of the first over, Ghana, a one without loss. This is the latest one. What did you?
in the other matches, he tended to bowl quite a few short balls in the first over, and on one or two occasions he was pulled over mid-wicket for boundaries. On this occasion, it seems the plan is to look to bowl a good line and a good length, as he did in that over, and Christian not able to really get Guyana off with any boundaries. Alusha will say the off stump to one delivery, but good length by Gabriel, and it's a pacey. So Trinidad and Tobago already setting the tempo, and Guyana, I'm sure, will want to up their tempo from now on.
Well, it's going to be bad to pick it up, and that's quite predictable. He's done it over the years, very successfully for Trinidad and Tobago. So a combination of pace and Trinidad and Daniel.
Yes, well, Badgery is the go-to man for the opening over. He's done a very good job for Trinidad and Tobago. It's very difficult to get away. Kicks the ball at you.
He does. We start over number two. He comes in. The ball to Christian. Christian is back and puts the ball away to extra cover four runs. That was hit mightily by the big man from Georgetown. That was short, but on the back for them. Banged it through cover. Struck the cover. That's gone for four. And Guyana in over number two, they go to 5 minute loss. Well played to Christian.
Yeah, too short by Badgery. Pulled down on it.
Looks a loosener. And Christian made no mistake with it. Smashing it through the covers for four. Well, it's going to be a full shot. Comes in to ball to Christian to this delivery. Short goes back, pushed up towards extra cover. There's no run for him. Length was a little bit better, but still short. And it must have just hustled onto it, then down to extra cover. So Christian is on five. It's 5 minute loss. We're into over number two. So the atmosphere is charged here. Here's Badgery comes in to bowl to Derwin Christian, who's on the back foot to one. Throw it on the line. The offside might have gone further than that. Poking back in the ball in the end, going square on the offside. And there's a run. It's 5 minute loss. We're into over number two. And we have the spin of Badgery. He turns now. Comes in to bowl to the right-handed Christian short, hits the ball away, up towards and off the catch, he's taken, he's out. Short of the length, Christian went back, hit it up towards the middle of the field, the catch is taken by Emmett, and an open number two, John have lost the first wicket, Christian, caught it mid-off by Emmett off the ball of Badgery, it's 5-1.
Yeah, he's annoyed that, really shouldn't have allowed that delivery to get him out, it was short, like the delivery that smashed through the cover for four earlier on that occasion. It was a lot straighter from Badgery, and it was making a bit of run for Christian, and Badgery has this ability to take the ball onto you, and he didn't time it at all, and held out to Emirate at mid-off. And Badgery, yet again, getting that early breakthrough for Trinidad and Tobago. Very difficult to get away because he gets that ball to skid. A lot of the sort of top spinners, I think he bowls one or two sliders, and the ball is hustled on to you, even though the length is short. You have to be very careful when you're playing him. And that ball there, just going to Emirate at mid-off, a short ball, and Christian obviously annoyed with himself for not doing better with that.
Well, he saw one experience, 65 matches, 1,066 runs, Australia of 106, the best of 70 versus South Africa at Johannesburg back in 2010. Comes out with his team losing an early wicket, the wicket of Christian, caught by Emmett up at the mid-off area. It was a poor shot. Here goes Badgery, he comes in, the ball to Sarwan. Sarwan gets one for Lally off some points at that. Didn't seem too committed to that. There was a bit of a nothing shot from Sarwan. And the ball went by to be taken by. Have a look at that.
Well, they're
showing the play of the dismissal. But he didn't look comfortable at all the first ball he got.
Well, you can see the ball hustling onto him.
Yes, Badgery in balls to Sarwan. Sarwan covers up. Good delivery. Ball is on the line. Off stump. And pushes up towards the extra cover here. That ends over number two. Guyana 5-1. This is the latest score. Both of you.
Coverage today on Wendy's Radio. Yes. Leona.
Yes. How are you doing?
I said we're doing good, but like they said there, those two deliveries that someone would have faced there, it's a nothing shot. But we're back live again.
Yeah, okay.
Come
Those are the main batsmen. In the meantime, it's going to be Gabriel to pick it up. His first over, Daniel, I thought was a good one. He bowled with good pace. And in fact, only one run came. So he'd be quite happy with the start. And
yes.
Start over number three.
Yes, and bowling out to the left-handed Wessex.
Come on.
And voila. He's just got in the wicket of Christian.
You're looking for wickets.
And he bowls such a good line, such good length. And if he can get, he's bowling with pace too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to get another wicket here will certainly put some nerves in the Ghana camp. But he starts the game, second over for him. Third overall comes in bowl. They're picked up and Zuffa drives up towards cover. There's a run for him. And a heavily packed offside field. There's a backward point of the cover. It's a cover in mid-off. So he'd have to do very well to prepare for the offside field. Mohammed came forward inside the circle to stop him. There's no run. So we're into over number three. And Ghana 5-1. William Daniel. Yes, and Christian there. Short ball from Badger. Look at the, I think he was looking to pull the ball. And he was cramped for room. And ended up offering an easy catch to Emirate at mid-off. And obviously annoyed with himself. Here's Gabriel. Comes in to Bolter Griffith. And to the salute. Short. And it goes away. Past the keeper, that was behind the six, and it goes behind the keeper, over there, sat under that. In fact, a wide is called by the umpire, bit of tennis bumps as well, it was behind the pitch, and the keeper had some difficulty in negotiating that, and a wide is called as he went past him, 7-1. Look at that, then down it, that's a goal. Yes,
it's quite clean as well, and rambling, just getting the fingertips to it, but the fielder has slipped, having to knock it down. Good thing there, the fielder has kept his eyes on the ball, but Ramden barely got a glove on it, and his left glove, and just took the sting out of it, and then the first slip just knocked it down. 7-1, the professor scored it. Here we go with Vic Gabriel, comes in to bowl to Sarwan, and to this delivery, pitch stop, flicked away beautifully, two mid-wicket out towards the boundary, one, they'll get a second. Bravo comes across to make the stop. That's Wayne Bravo. And quite appropriately stopping the ball in front of a lot of Trinidadians down there with the flag. And they applauded his great work. Ronnie Sarwan is back for a second. That was well played by Sarwan. Timing it beautifully. And got it very close to the middle. Bungle it 9-1. Yes, losing his length there, Gabriel, over pitching on Sarwan's pad. And he wants to get back on that off stump. He looked really good in that first over, Gabriel. When he starts the game, comes into Sarwan, who's down at number three. He's got to 9-1. Comes in to bowl to Sarwan. To this delivery short. Goes back, pushes up towards cover. There's no run. Back on length, back on line there. It was short. It was banged in the pitch. Sarwan got on his toes and pushed out in front of him. Well, bowled again by Gabriel. He's hitting the bat hard. You heard the sound in the effect microphone. Have a look at him though, Wynn. Does he remind you of anyone? Fast bowler for the pair, Colin Croft.
Would he do that?
He has a straighter action.
Does he look like
he's not as clear on his, he's not as chest on his calling ball.
Big strong man he is.
Very strong.
Very muscular.
Good pace as well. Comes in to bowl to Sarwan. He's up in bowl to Sarwan. Sarwan scores across. So good quick delivery. Jumps on his toes again and puts it on the cover. He's really pretty sharp here, Wayne Daniel.
Yep.
And I don't think Sarwan appreciates the person either.
No.
But I tell you one thing you shouldn't be looking to do, Sarwan, from that length, that short of a good length, is look to pull him and play with a cross guy. So far, he's just stabbing the ball down in front of him with a straight bat, Sarwan. But if he looks to pull that length, I would think it would go up in the air because it's quite tasty.
Going to him very quickly. 9 for a loss of 1 over number 3. Sarwan is in 2. Here's Gabriel, second over. Comes in to both the Sarwan. Sarwan goes back. Good tight delivery on the off stump. Stays it clearly offside down to backward point. The very imposing figure. Pollard comes forward and goes very close to Sarwan. I'm sure he's going to give him a chat. He loves to do that, you know, Pollard. Loves to give the batsman a lot of chat. Was anyone who played with Wayne Daniel that would do that? Would be talking in the batsman's ears all the time?
No,
you think of anyone?
No one that I played with. Maybe a little joke here and a little joke there, but I get the feeling that Pollard
He likes to chide him. He likes
He's
probably got a little bit of a snatcher.
I would think, yes. Maybe the miles that every can be touched. Here's the delivery from Gabriel, which is short. Someone goes back, turns the ball away. Down to the position of short. Fine leg and gets the run. Good, quick delivery. And Sarwan, a bit of an off me kind of shot, plays it down towards the position of short side leg for one. So that's complete over at number 3 at the end of it. Ghana 10-1, which is the latest score, both of you. Four off the over from Gabriel Ball on side, and he stroked it through the mid-wicket region and picked up 4 runs. And then the other deliveries were bang on target by Gabriel. And so I want to do no more than just play them defensively down on the pitch. But that last ball was turned into that short fine leg position by Sarwan. And the fielder didn't attack the ball at all. It looked like, was it Narayan? He didn't attack the ball.
Is that he comes in, balls outside the off-side, cut away. Well stopped inside the circle short third man. It was the ball fell out of the off-stump. Sarwan went back, cut it. And the big man, Gabriel, jumps across to his left to make the stop. That could have easily gone away for 4. It was a bad delivery, it wasn't put away. And immediately, such an important field position, they decided to make a switch. I'll tell you after this delivery, Sarwan comes forward. The ball given a lot of it on the off stump. Kambaji puts it on the cover. Originally, Gabriel was that short third man. That position has now been taken by Mohammed, particularly with the leg spin of the Sarwan, who can cut very well. 10-1. He comes up now, Badri balls for Sarwan. He turned the ball square on the offside, through the offside, down towards short. That was square for a single. Don't tell the offside. Backward point, that should be. And he went across to get the single. The backward point fielder came across, could not stop it. And that's a run. So Ronnie Sarwan gets one. Things have gone pretty well so far for TNT. Wayne Daniel.
Yeah, he has. And Sarwan playing a cut short. And the ball being saved in that backward point region, but then playing with soft hands and getting the single.
So it's going to be Badri to a ball to Griffiths, comes up now in both to Griffiths. Griffiths gets the ball short down the leg, that's going to be called a wide. It's very wide down the leg side, and Purple Star calls it. The carry has scored itself for 1 and over, number 4, Sarwan is 4. And Griffiths hasn't scored it yet. Christian back in the pavilion. Gone, caught a bit off. Here's Badri, comes in, both to Griffiths. Griffiths is swinging the ball in the air, up towards long arms, and the catch be taken! He's up! Now he drops it! Oh my golly!
Right,
and then up towards the wide long arm area, and looks like Emmett has took a catch to dismiss. Christian does not take this on this occasion. Let's have a look at the monitor. You think he should have taken that way, Daniel?
Yes,
I think so.
I mean, it was in the air for a long time. It went high, really high in the air.
But he got under it nicely. And with both hands. And it just went in and out. Perhaps should have been looking to take it a little bit higher.
Yes,
he got a second chance. Here's comes in both to Sarwan. Sarwan has shot, tipped the ball away from the leg, come up the middle of the gate. Can't score. Badri, apart from that, first ball was short and punch strike to cover has been on the money. Last ball of over, number 4, Rwanda finished strongly. Comes into Sarwan, and Sarwan is 4, turns the ball over, short side leg, looks for the run, return comes in, and it's coming in from Shannon Gabriel, so a single, good positive run in there from Diana, so end over number 4, it's 14-1, this is the latest score, what is who?
Well, Leon, look there for the batsman there, that catch should have been taken by all means, but we can say good afternoon to Simon quickly in the changeover.
Good afternoon to you, I'm so glad that you're back. We missed you last week, and I hope you have a very good week, and good evening to everyone listening.
Yes, good evening to you too, Simon. Glad that you're joining us, and I know that your buddy, Audley, is under the weather. I don't know if he's able to hear us, but I just wish him well as well.
Yeah, well, he spoke to me last night. He said he didn't feel too well.
Okay, hold on. We're going to be back live again.
It's going to be Gabriel to bowl his third over, so they're quite happy with where he's gone. Comes up now in both for Sarwan. Sarwan swings in the up towards the mid order. He's going to be caught easily. Yes! That was pressure, and more pressure. And a good old strike from Ronnie Sarwan. He's gone. Gabriel gets his man. And a big fish has been caught. And Diana are in trouble. I can see the Trinidad in the big side. Dancing merrily in the wind on the far side of the Diana. Diana 14-2.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's always going to be difficult to strike Derek Gabriel out of the ground. Because he's bowling with a good pace, and that ball wasn't a full delivery. It wasn't the sort of length that you were going to be able to lick out of the ground that easily. Perhaps a batsman with Gabriel's power might have had some success doing that. But Gabriel is bowling with such pace that you would have to be very good, very strong, to be able to hit him out of the boundary from that length. It wasn't up there, so I want to hike it over mid-wicket. Wayne, I've got a question for you in relation to Gabriel. Do you think he's good enough to put his play one test match against him? What do you think of him in terms of test cricket?
Well, he's pacey. You want that sort of bowler,
right,
in test cricket.
I think so as well.
He could be a match winner.
I think so.
But, you know, he's yet to play a lot of test cricket. He's only played one test.
And he looked good and he got injured and had to come back home. But once he's fit, he's got to be there. There's no doubt about that. So who do we have now coming up to do battle? Looks like Dinadan. First ball is short on the landed leg stump. And immediately coming across and turn the ball away the onside for a single. In fact, the batsman crossed where the catch was taken. So only saw one that time in this competition has not been very good indeed, actually, for the Guyana side. He's actually failed in this competition.
Yeah.
He's a very important position at number three and not producing the goods for his wonderful country, Wayne Daniels.
Yeah, he selected the wrong ball to go after there. You know, if anything, should be looking to hit straight, hit through the ball and look to go over mid-off or mid-on, but instead he was going across to make the pace there was pace and just, you know, didn't allow him to make the sort of connection that he was looking for.
Well, actually, you've got Gabriel's going to around, who has batted very well in this competition. But the pace of Gabriel must be a great concern to the guy. And as he starts his run, comes up now on his way, goes past the umpire, now he's in, and bowls the ball short in the air. Fox up goal for Gabriel, just to catch it out. Oh, my colleague, Gabriel is on fire with short. There was a match run. There was an awfully kind of shot. It was done in the pitch. And the keeper went across to short for a night to pop the cat. Gabriel the big man tight. And Dan on sight on the right step what to do. They're 15 for a loss of three.
Well, I was just going to say that if there's one batsman that you should test out with a couple of short balls, it would be Dean Ryan. And he played that in the ugliest of fashion. A ball short on his body. He just fainted it and rammed in the keeper. Running around to his right, held on to the ball, and Dino Ryan didn't fancy that at all. He didn't look to get on the ball and play it down. He didn't look to sort of, you know, just bump him hand off the bat. He just looked to get the ball down. He just fended it in the ugliest of fashion and offered that catch to the keeper.
Well, then, I'm going to let you describe the two outs, because I'm going to summarize it. I'm going to summarize it one way. The two batsmen that just got out were running from Gabriel.
Sawan, with all his experience, should have played a better shot than that. You know,
but
if you
in a way, they call it making room. He backs away to square leg and go with this whoosh. He's running. This guy is running these guys. Mind you, we are going into Australia on this, on similar wickets. Pacey and bouncy.
Those guys, they're obviously going to pinpoint their weakness.
Yes.
But let's get back to the action.
Yes.
He's improved.
Yeah.
Looks a lot fit. Of course, he's in part of the High Performance Centre. Here we go. Here's the delivery. As he comes up now, he's in both the barnwood. Full delivery down the left side pass, which is up four wide. Oh, it's a no ball call by the umpire. That was wide down the right side. A no ball for height as well. Maybe too much of an effort, it went past the keeper. So Ghana will benefit the three. What did you do wrong there, Wayne?
Quick. It was quick. I think
perhaps looking for the Yorker. He might have been looking for the Yorker, get the Yorker in first ball up, but it was wide down the leg side. I think it's better for him to continue to concentrate on the length that he's been bowling. It's been a good, tight length. And he needs just put the ball down on that length of the pace. that he's generating. But he starts again, comes up now, Gable, he's in balls, the ball pitched up, and there's a lovely flowing shot, and coming from Barnabas, there's four attempts to stop the ball, and it stops at the time and goes down towards the mid-on area. But what a start here for Trinidad and Tobago, the defending champions and firm favourites to win this. You want a good final. Why don't you want the game to finish off the last ball?
You want a contest.
You want a contest.
You want a contest, yeah. You don't want
to together. People
yeah.
are listening, they're watching, they want a contest.
You don't want to
say it. Diana provide a contest for Spain Daniels.
But this game is good viewing. This game is good viewing.
Good viewing.
Yeah, I think Barnwell is good dancing.
He's worth your money.
And
Barnwell, yeah.
Let's see. Here he comes on his way to ball. To Barnwell, short of a length. Ooh, that ball got onto him. And we have a look at the markers on that. That was possibly one that might have hit him in his chest. They were sure of it. He shoveled inside of the stumps and the ball got into him very quickly. Let's have a look at that. He's bowling sharp, isn't he, Wayne Daniels?
Yes, yes.
What do you see on the screen?
I think they might just have to think twice about that poor shot. Oh, hit him side of the head, side of the helmet.
Side of the helmet there. Yeah.
He didn't play well at all, Barnwell.
No.
He didn't play well at all. It was straight. It was fast, it was short. It was pacey and it was
like over the
right.
The boat is you. Shannon Gabriel must make his country very proud as he starts his run, full of pace. Comes in to board to Barnwell and to this delivery. He's driving to cover. Lovely shot. One safe for Dan, out towards the boundary. One, they'll get a second. The ball is put to Barnwell. Now the return comes in. It was a full length. And Barnwell driving through cover. He's back for a second. Just easing the pressure a bit to the end over number five. Diana 22 for a loss of 3, which is the latest score for Bojo.
Just over pitching slightly that last ball to Barnwell, Gabriel, and Barnwell driving it through the offside cover region and picked up 2 runs. But picking up the wicket of Dina Ryan in that over, a short ball, and Dina Ryan fended it in the worst looking fashion you'll see. And Brandon running around to his right took the catch. And then there was another short ball in the open that Barnwell tried to get any position to play the shot. And the ball hit him up side of the helmet. So good pace, good aggression being shown by Gabriel. And he certainly set Diana back with those two early wickets.
Well, time for change of commentator. Here's the man who's got all of his money in Diana, Klaus Emanuel. Is that true?
Not really, Gilbert, good evening to you. Good evening to our listeners. Big excitement here at Ball Station. Big crowd in. The Trinidadians here come from all quarters and they wait as Narayan starts the first delivery. Ball's too good to Griffith. He's playing that to a backward point. Barnwell wants a single, but it's not on. 22 for 3, which is 2 from 4. Barnwell 2 from 4 as well. And we saw him really belting the Jamaicans last evening. Sort of big efforts that began into the firing from Barnwell. Now Ryan with his mistress comes in, bowls to Griffith. Griffith wants a single, has to go back as Badger is moving in quickly from short square leg and ensures that the Ghanis, they remain on 22. 22 for 3. If you're just joining us, on a very packed Bolsiju cricket ground under the lights, the crowd building all the time. Stands fully populated, room in the ground area to our left as the Griffith comes forward but can't score and plays it up along the onside. So good start by Narayan Wayne.
Yeah, they've lost two early wickets, Gannon, so they've got to look to consolidate. They would love to attack Narayan, but he's a difficult customer.
He comes in still in the power play. Balls to Griffith. Griffith plays that out towards Lennon. It'll just be a single as Emery comes to his left. So Griffith's direction goes to 3. Two deliveries left in the 6th over. The final one, of course, of the power play. So the two fielders outside of the circle. They are long on as the right-handed Barnwell comes in to strike. Long on and deep mid-wicket. Slip in place as Ramdin looks make further inroads into the Ghanaian batting. Simmons goes down now. Narayan moves in, most of Barnwell. Barnwell is forward, can't score, plays it up along the track. And Narayan continues to be very, very tight, just the one single. 5 deliveries left in his first over. There's also short third man, backward point, Cholak took over mid off.
the Ryan moves it from the south, goes to Banwell. Banwell gets a flight to deliver it, but again, can't score as he plays it too short. Extra cover. Bravo picks up to end over number six at the end of it. It's 23-3, the latest from both of you.
It's Liam.
Yes.
Simon.
Yeah.
Let me first of all apologize for those who would have been listening and awaiting the birthday show here today at the 7 o'clock hour. We are somewhat obligated to bring the West Indies cricket, and that's what we're doing, and we'll be doing that for its entirety. Let me warn you, I think we're going to go past the 9 o'clock hour if Guyana decides to hang in there and battle the 20 overs and put up a good score. Gentlemen?
Yes, indeed. I'm glad you mentioned that, because many of our listeners would have been looking forward to hear those birthdays, and notwithstanding the illness of Audley as well, because he is the one who usually brings it to us. But we hope and pray that he's doing much better and he's listening to us.
Right, I hope so. And my question just before we went off, is Gabriel all that fast or just the men playing bad
yes.
shots?
No, he is quick. He's burning with a lot of venom. But we're going to be taking it back now to the ball by ball.
They are from Trinidad Tobago as Dwayne Bravo got away from his ball to Griffith. Griffith drives into the offside, but the sweeper out as the deep extra cover comes in and fires the return in like Darren Bravo. So one more to the total. It goes to 24-3. We are at the start of over number 6, as we told you. Christian being the first to go. He was caught temporary ball battery 5. Tawan then caught Simmons ball Gabriel 5. And then Dion Orang filling to score. Caught Ramdin ball Gabriel 2. Gabriel, 3 overs no maidens, 2 for 14. Badgery, 2 overs no maidens, 1 for 8. The right handed Barnwell waits as Bravo. Put him short, hits into the offside. Forces are filled in by Badgery. An extra cover will allow the batsman to go through for a single as the total goes to 25-3. A very important partnership now needed with Barnwell. We saw the role he played last evening, Wayne. Very critical to the Ghana effort.
Yes, he and Griffith played that important role last night against Jamaica, and they need to do it here again tonight. They've got, you now have to reset your strategy. You've lost 3 wickets. And you assess as you go along, look to have wickets in hand, and then look to have a go in the last 2 overs or so. They need Barnwell to stay there because he can hit the big ball.
Taking in the 88th last evening, Bravo almost there, both to Griffith. Griffith is edging that down to third man, a long one for the man who's too wide. And the ball goes into the boundary now as Gabriel not able to come across to his right. So a boundary to Guyana. Griffith goes to 8. It's 29-3 in the 7th over.
Yeah, you just need to have a few things going your way. Edge there and by Griffith. And the third man, as you said, too wide and picking up 4 runs. So they'll be happy with that for sure, Guyana.
So into the power plays now. So 5 fielders outside of the circle. It gives them view after this delivery. Bravo to Griffith. Griffith back into the keeper of the point boundary. And it'll be just 1 to the total. It goes to 30-3. 2 deliveries left in over number 7. As the right-hander will now come in to strike Barnwell. So for him, we've got third man, deep extra cover, long off now going out. Jason Mohammed was coming into this game for Trinidad Tobago, replacing Otley. We've also got long on, deep mid-wicket. And we have Gabriel now coming into the circle, short backward square. Bravo moves away from his ball to Barnwell. Barnwell looking to pull, goes out towards long on. Let's get hold of it. Maybe looking to hit that a long squarer. In the end, going all the way to long on, where Emery comes into field, and there's 1 run taken, so 31-3, still 1 delivery left in the 7th.
Yeah, I don't think it was that short, but Barnwell was trying to make something of it, looking to get it through that mid-wicket area, and just managed to get it down to the fielder at long on, got a single.
Bravo, 8 runs considered so far, and this is first over. Moves away from us, goes to Griffith, Griffith back and touch that nicely, but straight to Pollard.
who's at the middle wicket position, and the seventh over is completed. So Griffith is 9 from 11. Barnwell 4 from 8. 31 for 3. Ghana up to 7 overs.
Yeah, getting boundary in that over again, an edge. Griffith driving at a full length delivery from Bravo, and the edge going down to third man, to that third man area, and he picked up four runs. But they've got to look to not slug by any means, but they've got to look to up the tempo, Ghana. But it's not going to be easy against a bowler like Andy Shillon.
No, it looks like a change. So Narayan being given the solitary over. Looks like Badgery has been called back. Badgery, two overs, no maiden, one for eight. As he'll move into Barnwell. Barnwell to the delivery is back hitting it into the offside, brings the keeper off of the boundary, and Simmons will fire the return into Rumlin as the Guyana total goes up to 32 for three. Four in the line, just the one over.
Yeah, getting back for the end. Might be thinking that at this stage, Badgery probably would be a comeback to that.
Griffith in strike with the Badgery bowls looking to hodge that maybe out towards midwicket, out towards the crowd. Bowls to our right in the western stand looking to get a wave going, just beginning to pick up. Not successful is Griffith, but the wave seems to be quite successful. As the delivery that's again wide looking to play at it, Griffith doesn't make contact, Rumden takes. As the excitement level begins to rise here at Gold Stage, you big crowd in. Still into our left is also the ground area. As Badgery comes in, both shoot Griffith again beaten. Rumden takes the bills off, but the back foot was grounded, so no appeal. And Guyana, 32 for 3. As the big Trinidadian contingent looking to urge on the players. The Red Force, they've done pretty well. They have Guyana rocked back. Badgery looking for more wickets. Goes to Griffith. Griffith hits into the offside. The keeper has to come off of his position. And there's so to his left. So just a one. So Griffith goes into double figures. He's 10 from 15. Bangla's 5 from 9. 3 for 33. The 12th man, the Trinidad and Tobago crowd. Intermission. Adding a lot of energy to the Red Force.
Yeah, I think a lot of them came here last.
Barnwell looking to sweep, goes fine, long run for the... Does he pull it back? No. He gives it up now. Gabriel has a wide being called. So there was Badgery. He was dongle side, and Barnwell looking to get some back onto it. Not the... And the ball going into the boundary. So five being scored, 38 for three. Barnwell remains on five. Remain on five. He's got one delivery left in the eighth over. To this delivery, his forward plays it up pitchly out into the short backward square region. Gabriel picks up on this occasion. Big appeal. Now umpire good start suggests that comes from the pad and signals led by to bring over number eight to an end. So at the end of eight, Guyana is sent in by 39 for three. Griffith is sent from 13. Barnwell 5 from 10.
A loose delivery by Badgery down the light side that was called the boundary. So they picked up five wide there, Ghana. But I don't know why they took Narayan. I would have kept him off at least another over. But you find that when the batsmen have to go at Narayan hard towards the end, they struggle because of his variations. I think early on, the team able to measure him and score off him a lot easier than at the end when they have to go hard and he has all those variations with Dusra and such variations. So that might be something that Ramden has in his mind.
Over number eight, Dwayne Bravo moves in. Both to Barnwell. Barnwell is getting a delivery that's bang on target and looking up to Badgery, short mid-wicket. And there's no run. So, Dwayne Bravo is first over 8 runs. Narayan, as we told you, is solitary over for 1 run. Badgery, 1 from 10 from his 3 overs. Gabriel
The Archangels, 2 for 14 from his 3. So Bravo turns on the edge of the circle from the northern end and goes away from us under the lights across issue balls to Barnwell's short delivery and also a slower one. And the change of pace proving the undoing of Barnwell on this occasion. A big drive, but played much too early.
Yeah, he's got a good slower ball, Dwayne Bravo. And Barnwell obviously looking to power through the offside and being deceived by it.
Bravo walking slowly back, reaches the top of the mark now and turns. The West Indies all rounder. Halfway through his run now, goes past and back, Brockwood goes to Barnwell. Barnwell is cutting out towards the third man who comes away to his right. They'll be looking for the second, but maybe not charging for the first run. And in the end, Ramden does not pick up the return cleanly. Backs up on the onside, but just a single. And with the close scoring by Guyana, you'd have thought, Wayne, that he would have been pushing for the first one, looking to be manufacturer second.
Yeah, the fielder had done that wide third man position. Had to go around to his right. Had to move maybe 10 yards to his right. And we didn't run the first one quickly.
Griffith 10 from 15 weight. Bravo goes to him. He's playing that through square leg, who comes up the boundary, and it's just another single. 41 now. 41 for 3. Gan is scoring quite slowly. Scoring rate of 4.7. And in contrast to last evening, they had a big target in excess of 180. Scoring very briskly at the top, but we haven't seen it tonight. Is it a better quality of bowling from the
bowling has been good. I mean, Bajri has proven to be a difficult customer to get away throughout the tournament.
Bravo moves away, balls to Barnwell. Barnwell's driving. Nice, pleasant-looking stroke, but unsuccessful in terms of production. It goes straight to Pollard, who's in the circle at extra cover, and there's no run. So the field for Bravo in the ninth over. Guyana, 41 for 3, third man, extra cover. There's, as we told you, Pollard in the circle. There's long off, and also the man sweeping a deep extra cover. There's a long on the edge of the circle, straightish middle wicket, shot backwards square, and deep square leg. Bravo in over number 9, moves in, goes to Barnwell. Barnwell back, and again will bring third man into play. They've gone for one. They'll get the second comfortably on this occasion, as it's a few yards more to the right of and easy two completed on this occasion. 43 for 3. 9 overs gone. Barnwell is 8 from 16. Griffith 11 from 16. The latest on Windage Cricket Radio.
Yeah, and then you have that opening burst from Gabriel, the fast bowler, which I thought was of rare quality. He bowled with tremendous pace, and his line and his length, they were good. And picked up two wickets. He picked up he really put the cat among the pigeons as far as Dean Ryan was concerned. And he picked up the wicket of Star One as well.
Bajri, his final over, the 10th of the innings, comes in, goes to Griffith. Griffith looking to play on the onside, doesn't get hold of it. Rumden goes up with the appeal. No support for him, neither from his fielders nor from umpire Gustad. And no damage done, the total remaining on 43. A big inside edge onto that as we look at it on the monitor. The monitor really entitled the appeal. As Bajri continues, goes to Griffith. Griffith back. Mohammed has to come off the boundary, and in fact, looks like Bravo. And there's just a one as the batsmen respond well. So we'll come into strike on 8 from 15. Griffith 12 from 18. Goes to the non striker's end. 44 for 3. Two deliveries gone in the 10th over. Bajri goes to Barnwell. Barnwell is driving, doesn't cue properly, goes out towards the onside. They go for one. The throw coming into the non-striker's end, but maybe going to the wrong end. Bajri indicating that it might have gone or should have gone to the keeper. As it turned out, the two were comfortably taken as the return fired in. Bajri not even at the position to collect it from the Aziz bin Mohammed till this delivery that brings Barnwell forward. It comes up maybe a mixture of bat and pad. It goes out into the short squalid position. Here's confirmation back. Signal from umpire Gustard, 47-43. We have still two deliveries left in this 10th over. The Guyana team look to create some sort of platform. They've really been rocked back, certainly by the pace of Gabriel, two wickets. And Badri delivered at short, and Griffith pulling out towards the mid-wicket, who comes up the boundary. And the batsman just stepped in for a single. So 48-3. Griffith single. Griffith goes to 13. And Guyana just not been allowed to get away here, Wayne.
No, they're not getting sort of any four balls, really. Badri's been pretty tight.
The delivery of this match goes to Banwell, who's hitting that out towards the sweeper. Siemens comes off the deep extra cover boundary and fires in a good return to Ramdin at the halfway stage of the Guyana inning. So 49-3, 13, Banwell 12. This has been the first half of the inning. Guyana 49-3 after 10. The latest on Windish Cricket Radio.
So, a projected score, Leon. It's we are at the halfway mark. It's a 20-20 encounter.
123.
Simon, a projected score. We're halfway there. It's round figures 50 from 10.
Okay. So I predict 115, 120 at the most. 115,
120. Oh, write those down, Leon. We're going to be joining our cricket commentators on location. Compliments, Cricket Show.
And Wayne Daniel takes the break, and I'm joined by Darren Ganga, who will certainly be happy with the efforts of Trinidad Tobago at this time, as Emirates moves in both to Banwell driving, but straight to Emirates, and there's no run. We've been talking, Darren, about all the strategies and the plans and the so forth. It must be pretty good from the Trinidad Tobago point of view so far.
To you, Claudius, and to all our listeners. Yes, if you're a Trinidad Tobago fan, you'll be happy with the position so far with the team. Trinidad Tobago have picked up 3 wickets, and they are taking control of this game slowly over by over. They're suffocating run scoring.
Emirates runs away from us from the north, close to Banwell back, looking to pull, doesn't shoot properly. We'll get a single as the ball goes into the short squalid position. Ramdin picks up from behind the stump, so 50 coming up for the Guyanese. 50-2 after 10.2 overs. Banwell 13, Griffith 13, but very slow going, Dan.
Of course, slow going, and you know, there's still 3 overs from Sunil Narine, and we've seen teams in the past struggle to score runs against his bowling. So, you know, I still like the intent shown by Banwell. He played a fantastic innings yesterday. This partnership, himself and Griffith, they batted really well to win that game against Jamaica. I just feel that they're being suffocated to a large extent in run scoring.
Emirates round the wicket to the left under Griffith. Back hits that out towards the offside. The sweeper coming across. Simmons makes good ground to his left. And does pretty well to keep the batsman to a single as the throw goes to 51. But after he played it, you got the impression that it had the potential maybe to get a lot closer to the boundary. But the sweeper doing pretty well, ensuring that it was restricted to just a one. But it's Griffith going to 14 from 20. Guyana scoring at 4.86. And needing to up the tempo as the right-handed Banwell comes in to strike. Pollard goes to the deep mid-wicket boundary as Emirates moves away from us. Goes to Banwell backing away and looking to pull to the onside. Chuck on the pad, but a bit of single as the short backward point comes into field. Dwayne Bravo. And one more to the total. Leg by being signaled by umpire Brackwood. So Griffith will come into strike now on 14. Banwell, although running, will remain on 13. So the Guyanese really little wickets, as we told you. Christian for 5. Star 1-5. Deonna Ryan struggling with the pace, not scoring. So 2 for 14, Gabriel. That's 1. Emirates moves in now, balls to Griffith. Griffith is back and playing out towards a third man who comes away to his left. Gabriel fires in a flat return low to. And another single taker. So 53 for 3. One delivery left in this 11th over, at the end of which the ball by ball will go to Zaire Mohammed. Dan Adians will be describing the action. I'm sure they'll be quite happy. The Red Force, they've really done a pretty good job. As Emirates about to complete over number 11, moved in most of Banwa. Banwa gets a short delivery and ducks out of the way, allows it to go into the gloves of Ramdin to complete the 11th over. So 11 overs gone. 16 from 21. The Linnets on Windies Cricket Radio.
Well, boundaries have been hard to combine for this guy and up here. The Trinidad and Tobago, they've really done well as a unit. They've got a couple blemishes. They had a couple blemishes in that of Riyad Emirates dropping a simple catch off Griffith. And we've seen a misfield by Samuel Badri. But apart from those two instances, I think that, you know, we've seen a good showing by Trinidad and Tobago so far. As I welcome Fazil Mohammed.
Thank you very much. Sunil Narine to bowl over number 12. He just had one over for one run and was taken out of the attack. 53 for 3 in 11 overs. Trinidad and Tobago very confident at the moment as Narine from the far end bowls to Trevon Griffiths, looking to swing it away. Top edge over flip. Will get one. Jason Mohammed comes around to pick up. Sends the return in. They'll only have the single. Good work running back from short third man. Just out of the reach of a leaping Darren Bravo. Score moves on now to 54 for 3 in over number 12. Barnwell on strike on 13. Trevon Griffith, the left-handed opening batsman, who came into the team last night in place of Brian Chanderpaul and justified that inclusion with a good inning. Narine, both of Barnwell backing away, missing, goes through to the keeper. It's a different challenge when you're facing up to someone like Sunil Narine.
Of course, I think most batsmen are not sure as to which direction the ball is going, and that is where the challenge is. Some guys are giving themselves room to play on the offside. Some guys are trying to play on the onside, not picking the right delivery.
Barnwell guiding this delivery away through a short third man, just for the single to the left of Emirates. He moves on to 14. Griffith back in strike on 16, 55-3 in over number 12. Diana put into bat by Dinesh Ramdin, losing Derwin Christian, caught by Emirates off bat three for 5. Sarwan caught by Simmons after wicket, pulling at the Gabriel of miscue for 5. Now things Yonarine gloving a lifting delivery to be caught behind off Gabriel. Griffith drives the next delivery from Narine out towards long off for the single. He goes on to 6-3 in over number 12. Narine fell without scoring, and that was in just the 5th over. So they've been together for just about 7 overs. As Narine bowls up to Barnwell, and he's playing it from the crease. And again, just to reinforce that point, not sure what the ball is, but he'll have a go.
Of course, and you can see it here, Christopher Barnwell. He's in good form, but still, he's not able to get it away.
Narine bowls up to Barnwell, looking to pull a straighter delivery appeal for LBW. That's been a bit too high. There is some bounce and pace on this track. 12 overs gone. Narine on target again, just 3 runs off his second over. He has none for 4 from 2. And Guyana in this final, struggling after 12 overs at 56 for 3.
I'd just like to welcome all our listeners and followers, those who are on us. And with us here on the online, and those who are following us on the computer, those on the phone, we are going to be welcoming them to the cricket show.
They're trying to get the singles, even in their boundary hitting. We find that there are a lot of sweepers out, you know, and they're hitting the ball in the general direction where they are fielders. Emirates, round the wicket. Looking to hoist that one away in the air. The man, no one going for it. In fact, Shannon Gabriel wasn't sure where it was. And everyone, hands akimbo, looking at one another. It was in the air for a long time. And certainly the luck has been going with the Trevon Griffith. He was looking to hammer that one away over the top, peeled off the outside edge. And Shannon Gabriel never left his position down. Might not have been able to get to it, but it was in the air for a long time. And they were able to complete 2 runs.
Yeah, a wide half volley, and Griffith not being able to make full use of it. Stop it, Shannon Gabriel had to run to his left. Should have put in a better effort than that.
58 for 3 as Emmett bowls short. He's into the pole shot. Griffith gets it off the body, away to where a third slip would have been, and they come through for the leg by. That will be signaled now. The total goes up to 59 for 3 in over number 13. Emmett, in his second over, has none for 5.
Samuel Badger, 4 overs, no maidens, 1 for 21, Sullen O'Rine, 2 overs, no maidens, none for 4. Dwayne Bravo, 2 overs, no maidens, none for 12. And Shannon Gabriel, 3 overs, no maidens, 2 for 14. Remember it. Back over the wicket, throw the right hander. He's short and he's pulling this away out towards square leg. And he's able to get only the single. And Lendl Simmons picks up right out on the boundary. And certainly, TNT have done their homework. They're keeping it very, very tight to the batsmen, not giving them the room to play the shot. 60 for 3 in over number 30. You can see a clear-cut plan on the part for each batsman. And that is good. That is good planning. It shows that there was some sort of thought in terms of strategy. And that is what you want to have in a final. Have your bowlers understand what length they have to bowl at the particular batsman. And they're doing a fantastic job so far. Emmett continues to Griffith. The shot driven high into the air. Someone should be able to take the catch now. Is Emmett going to take it? He's put it down again. For the second time, he's missed the air. It was in the air for a long, long time. He didn't seem at all confident either. And once more, this time off his own bowling, he's put down Trevon Griffith.
Well, a bad miss again by Riyad Emirates, and we've seen this often from him. I recall that first Champions League game against Yorkshire, I think it was. A very, very crucial catch at short fine leg he dropped, and Trinidad went on to pay the price, and the price of not being able to go forward in the Champions League. On this occasion, let's hope it doesn't hurt Trinidad and Tobago.
As Emirates moves to boundary, short, he's pulling this one out towards deep end wicket, and there's only the single. Affected at all by the fact that Trevon Griffith was just grounding his bat as of the non-striker's end, because the catch came down virtually at the side of the stumps of the non-striker's end.
Yeah, sometimes when you have players around you, it's a little bit distracting, so that may have played on his mind. You know, it was hit high in the air, he had to run back, he had enough time though to settle on it, but the sad thing about it is he never really got his hands to the ball. You know, that's two chances gone a begging.
Both offered by Trevon Griffith. Last ball of the over now. As he bowls to Griffith, helping it away to short fine leg. Will the catch be taken? No. It's going to fall safe. Out towards short backward square leg. Ahead of Sullen O'Rine at short fine leg. The end of the over. Trevon Griffith living a charmed life on 21. Barnwell is 16. Overs. Guyana just staying alive at 63 for 3.
Well, it has been the only exciting thing in this inning so far. The opportunities for catches. We've seen on a couple of occasions the ball going into the sky, and some of the season are not very close hit, you know, not even an attempt or an effort to get there. But that has been the only blemish so far from this Trinidad and Tobago outfit. They're creating opportunities, but they're not in a position to put Guyana on the back foot further. They've gotten 3 wickets so far. They had the opportunity to get a lot more, and they haven't really seized that. You know, that is not the standard of this Trinidad and Tobago team. You know, we spoke about the 3 days that there was no competitive matches. Maybe this is playing a part in terms of the energy on the field. I don't know. Not a regular Trinidad and Tobago team.
Well, they certainly look fired up at the very start. The bowling of Shannon Gabriel had the guy, and he's on the hop. Preston O'Rine is over number 14. Coming into bowl to Griffith. Looking to hoist it away towards long on. Let's see what happens now. Will it fall safe again? Yes, it will. Ahead of Sullen O'Rine, the bowler was trying to come up. Kyron Pollard of long on was coming up as well. So, if anything, well, how many lives does the cat have? 9? Well, Trevon Griffith, if you look at the opportunities that he got, a couple of that would have gone to hand. And 3 or 4 of the near misses. He gets a single.
Got an opportunity. Oh my God, it's raining opportunities here for catches. Location, it wasn't close to any fielder. And he survived.
64 for 3 and over number 14. Barnwell on strike. 9 goes to Barnwell. Swinging the short ball away out towards deep mid wicket. Just for the single. Picked up right out on the boundary. And the total moves on by 1. 65 for 3 in over number 14. Barnwell on 17. Griffith is 22. Out of chat from Dinesh Ramdin behind the stump. Trevon Griffith with a bit of a smile on his face as he waits into the left-handed opening batsman, and he's looking for the big heave. Misses, and it's a throw to the keeper. I think he recognizes not so much of just luck, but the overs are going by. This is over number 14, and the Guyanese would need some measure of acceleration now. Flip in place, backward point,
Short extra cover, long off, cover on the boundary on the offside. Griffith looking to swing this one away, high into the air. That's gone for six. One way, out towards deep mid wicket. And it's about time that they get a really big hit in the course of this inning. Six number 191 takes Guyana up to 71 for three in the 14th over.
Well, it's a huge six, and that has been the most excitement we've seen so far. On a couple of occasions, Griffith attempted this shot, but because his deliveries were too wide outside the off stump, he didn't make contact. This time it was close, and he was able to pick up six.
Ryan bowls it to Griffith, closer towards the leg stump, and chipped away out towards deep square leg. They're going for one, won't come back for the second run. The throw from Lendl Simmons is on the bounce to the bowler. Sunil Narayan at the non-striker's end. 72 for three in the over number 14. One delivery left. Barnwell now in strike on 17. Griffith on 29. This is the final of the Caribbean T20-2013. Barnwell looking to hit straight. Will he get the boundary? Yes, he does. Beating the fielder coming around at a long on. The best over for the Guyanese so far. 14 overs gone on Windy's Cricket Radio. Guyana batting first in this final of 76 for 3.
Leon?
Yes, yes. Well, Trinidad must take the captures. I thought Emmett was a bad judgment on his part. But Bagwell seems to have the temperament for this type of cricket. He's not showing any nerves at all. And if anybody's going to win it and give them a good score to defend, got to leave it to Barnwell. And Griffith is really taking on. But you got to go back to the commentary.
The ball over number 15. He has 9-9 from two overs, but has dropped Stephen Griffith off the bowling of Samuel Badger and his own bowling. As Emmett goes outside the off stump, and he's looking to hammer it away out towards cover. The throw for Pollard hits the stump and runs him out. Tremendous bit of cricket by Kyron Pollard. He took carefully the edge of the 30-yard circle, and the luck has run out. Third drove towards cover, and Pollard, with the dead eye, hitting the stumps at the non-striker's end, at 76 for four.
A piece of brilliance there by Kyron Pollard, and that is what you need in a situation like this. Yes, this Trinidad and Tobago team, they've, you know, given the Guyanese some chances earlier, and on this occasion, up cleanly at cover. It was a push to cover from Griffith, and I didn't think he thought he had a chance. You know, he gave up immediately because he knew it was a matter of hit or miss. And Kyron Pollard, he was brilliant. He was accurate, and Griffith has to go.
He's gone for 29, 76 for 4 in over number 15. Leon Johnson comes to the crease. Someone who can certainly smash it about if he gets the opportunity to get the bat on ball, because the bowling has been pretty difficult to get away so far. The last over was a good one for Guyana, a 6 and a 4 of Sunil Narayan, but now Kevin Griffith, who hoisted that 6, has departed. And Kyron Pollard showing his versatility, not just for his powerful hitting, but for his brilliance in the field. That was from square on to hit the stump. We had Emmett, bowls to Barnwell, following him with a short ball, pulled away, out towards deep mid wicket. Pollard picks up. They'll come back for the second run as the throw comes in. Just a bit wide off the stump, and Barnwell benefits by two. He goes on to 23. It's 78 for four in over number 15.
But fair thoughts for Riyad Emmett. I'm sure he's a relieved man now. Having missed Trevon Griffith on two occasions, you know, it's good, I'm sure, for him to see the back of Trevon Griffith. Again, from Guyana, it's good that Leon Johnson, a left-hander, is joining Barnwell to maintain that left-right combination.
Emmett goes out to Barnwell outside the off-stump. He was backing away. It's not a wide, because Barnwell was backing away towards the leg side to look for the wide open spaces over cover. And that was clever bowling by Emmett. Kept it full, slightly wide, and he couldn't get a touch. Barnwell
make the adjustment to the leg side. And sometimes you can choose the option of following the batsman, and that is what they want. On this occasion, he maintained that line outside the off-stump. And because Barnwell had moved, it was very difficult for him to reach that delivery. Good dot ball.
Halfway through over number 15, Emmett bowls to Barnwell. He's backing away again and misses once more. getting increasingly frustrated, Christopher Barnwell. He's got 23 of 33 deliveries. Coming to the end of over number 15 with two deliveries left, Diana, at 78 for 4. Johnson has yet to take strike, and Emirates in his third over has done for 11.
Well, this has reminded me of Barbados in the last two overs that they played. There were a lot of batsmen who were stepping to leg and not being able to make contact. He's got to be mindful. He's got to stay still and give himself the best chance of making contact with the ball.
Emirates bowls at the bottom, short of a length, and he's just playing the paddle shot, looking to play the full-blooded pull, but then mindful of the square leg on the boundary, played it virtually into the ground to ensure that it bounced away towards the deep backward square. Gets the single. He's up to 24. 79 for 4 in over number 15. Diana losing Christian, caught by Emmett of Cadbury for 5. Trevor Griffith, the last hit of the ball, he was run out, a direct hit by Pollard for 29 from cover. Sarwan caught by Simmons of Gabriel at a mid wicket for 5. Dionoy gloving a short ball from Gabriel to Randin. This hit basically a leg slip and he went without scoring. And now it's the play of Leon Johnson and Barnwell, Christopher Barnwell, trying to give Guyana some impetus towards the end of their innings. As Emirates in now, passes to the umpire, bowls to Johnson, short ball, he's ducking under it, goes over the line of legs up to the wide, isn't called, it's the end of the over. Emirates 3 overs for 12 runs, 15 overs gone. Guyana 79 for 4. We're going to have a change in commentary more from Darren Ganga, and then it will be Anthony. Well, a critical stage of the game here. Critical for both teams. Obviously, Trinidad and Tobago will want to continue with limiting run scoring. On the other hand, the Guyanese, they've got to start to accelerate. I've got some batting to come, but it is going to be very important to play these. But this could determine if they win or lose. They need to get a total. They need to get a total that their bowlers can work with. They're not chasing, so they've got to try and get as much runs as possible to give themselves a chance. As I welcome Andrew.
Nice to see you here in the first delivery. Diana, who could be the important cog in Diana's wheelie, comes under the front foot, pitches up to mid-off, there's no run. 79 to 4 over number 16. Diana would love to have a move on here. Here's Naran, comes in again to bowl to Bauer to this delivery. He's swinging the ball away, that's gone! Over the middle of the six. What a lovely shot from the big man from Queenstown and Georgetown. A ball was pitched him and he swung it high over the top of the regular that's gone for 6. He could be a dangerous customer down.
He done it for Guyana in the past, and he picked this one nicely. It was a conventional off-break and he swept this one over deep mid-wicket.
Here's Naran again, comes in to bowl to Barnwell to this delivery. He's coming forward, opens the fifth about, runs another shot to the man, the return comes in! And Johnson took home. And that was pretty tight indeed, but they got home. What kind of score you think, Darren, they were looking for? They half is over number 16, is 86 for 4.
Well, I reckon they would want to get something close to 130, 140. A tough ask at this stage.
Right.
It will require some level of batting, some level of control. It will require Christopher Barnwell to bat throughout this entire inning.
You reckon? Well, Naran is going to continue. He's going to bowl to Johnson. At this stage, 86 to 4 over number 16. Advantage to Trinidad, you think?
Yes, of course.
At the moment.
Definitely.
The delivery is too short. He comes back and steers the ball down to Stafford Point. Return comes in. Barnwell scores one. We'll show the sideline the off stump. And there is the batsman looking to play the ball into the offside down to backward point to get home. So what do we have now? 87 for 4. We're into over number 16. Tremendous crowd here. In fact, the people can't get in.
Yeah,
you don't have a ticket, you don't have a chance to get in here. I think the gates have all been closed.
And what has been really exciting is the fact that there's a sea of red. You know, I'm really shocked with the amount of
people who have traveled. Trinidad and Tobago?
Of course, Trinidad and Tobago.
Indeed. Okay, we're going to watch the action as one is on the line of the leg stump. That's Barber driving onto Long On for a single. And the batsman will come to for one easy. 88 for 4. There's some discussion coming here. Pretty man Chan, he was trying to work out the biggest crowd so far. He's been turning down the big on the round. Do you think this is the biggest crowd we've had?
Possibly. I think it's very close to the game, Trinidad Guyana game, at the Queen's Park.
Here is the delivery, which is to pitch up the batsman forward. Here it's going to be offside, and the round is on the target. And it goes down behind backward point. Jeffrey,
for a mere fact that Queen Star over got a hole of close to 20,000. And this ground, I think, only holds about 15,000 or so.
Yes.
And the grass banks are empty.
Well, they're not empty anymore.
problem is that I understand, in fact I was talking to Imran, the people who didn't have tickets, they didn't want to open the stand, but what has happened
is the grass right on it, you can't find it, didn't you? So I would suggest that that the crowds in Trinidad and Tobago are probably much bigger.
Indeed. So, I agree with that, Woody, I agree with that. You know, you're talking about 20,000 people, so we agree that that first day, oh, tremendous, wasn't it?
Wonderful atmosphere, I mean, on the outside, and it's a very exciting sort of feeling, much less these players.
Here is Emmett comes up now, in goes to Barnwell, pitch up, and he drives in the air, could be caught, no, a backward point, the ball has gone miles in the air, will he be caught? Oh, the catch is taken, Darren's overtakes the catch, and the big man is gone. That snap has been caught from the feed here at Bozadu. Barnwell goes for 32, and Guyana, they are 88 for the loss of 5.
Big wicket for Trinidad and Tobago. We've seen a lot of opportunities come by, and Trinidad and Tobago not being able to hold on. On this occasion, I think Barnwell made the same mistake. He was moving to leg rather than moving into the delivery. And on that occasion, he was able to get a top edge that spooned up the backward point. Darren Bravo judged it nicely, and in the end, it looked like a simple catch.
But it was not. It was not. That was a long time. I've seen, unlike the couple of chats. In fact, we have a situation like with Emmett. That caught in goal. What went?
Well, I think Emmett has struggled to take high catches. Like I've mentioned, the Champions League game we played against Yorkshire,
right,
in Centurion Park, he spilled a simple catch. My leg, that probably did cost us the game in terms of how it panned out. So,
are you blaming?
I'm not blaming him, but I'm saying that it was very critical in terms of determining the outcome of the game. You know, these things happen in cricket, but it is becoming a problem with him.
I think you've got to speak to him, because you may very well play a coach a little bit later on when the first class season starts. I've been told, hey, Emmett. On the wicket comes in now to Boltis Johnson. He's up. And Boltis Johnson. Johnson covers up. Plays the ball up towards Menoff. That was a throw ball. And the very imposing figure of power comes in. Cops the arm and threatens to throw. 88 for 5 over number 17. And it looks as if, with a rate at 5.3 now, the projected score is 108 for them if they continue at this current rate.
Yeah.
That may not be enough.
Low rates, given the power of this Trinidad and Tobago batting. In my estimation, on this surface, it's a good batting surface. You need to get more runs than this.
And with the game comes into both left-handed Johnson, in both of Johnson short. Johnson allows the them, so Bradford has got some work to do. Signals the wide. And it will benefit by one. And the loss of 5. And this is the Tobago down to win the toss and insert. Diana, were you surprised by that?
I think if you look at the history on the ground in terms of matches, you would see a lot of teams leading.
Well,
and I think it's 9-2, if I'm not mistaken.
9-2.
And the other thing is, you want to take Guyana out of their comfort zone.
Right.
They love chasing. And I think if you could make them uncomfortable in a final, you would have an advantage.
And they've done that. Emmett again, keeping the pressure on. Comes in, bowls to Johnson. Johnson is driving in the air. Up towards cover. The ball is there for a long time. In the catch, be careful. He's out. Yes, he is. On the second attempt.
Another good wicket for Trinidad and Tobago. And yes, we're seeing a totally different batting approach by Guyana. When we saw them against Jamaica yesterday, they were very, very much composed. They were picking the gaps nicely. They were playing proper cricket shots. But I just feel the pressure of playing in this final, and more so the aura of this Trinidad and Tobago team, has really put them on the back foot. We're not seeing that same level of composure. We're seeing a team that is panicking to some extent, and that is because of bowling being imposed on them by Trinidad and Tobago.
And at the start, that's Simon Gabriel, who bowled quickly. I like Simon Gabriel. And I like that kind of aggression. In the actual outfield, he's on the back foot from very early.
Well, part of the strategy over the years for Guyana is obviously to be aggressive,
right,
to make them uncomfortable. If you look at all the bowling options here, most of the guys are generally aggressive. They're using the short ball to good effect. There's little or no sort of friendliness. All the guys are showing it in their body language. You can see Karen Pollard himself,
right,
the bowler themselves, going very close to the batsman. So physical presence, which I think adds a lot at the fielding unit.
Well, here we go again. As this delivery from everybody's outside line, the outside driven by Sandra on the middle. The return does not come in. Looks like Jason Muhammad up there to pick it up. And there is a run. So Condon and Jacobs is the crease. They've got a lot of work to do to get down to this big hole that they've found themselves in. The decision by Trinidad and Auckland bringing Mohammed, did that surprise you?
Not really. It is good from the point of view of wanting to feel safe, because if you feel safe, whatever total you're given, you must chase it down. And then felt he had suitable options in terms of bowling options. It was advisable for him to play the extra batsman in case anything is to happen when they bat.
Here's Embert, comes up now into ball to Jacobs. This delivery back to him, bangs it down the backward point. It's going to help towards the ball they get there. Something good has finally happened for Guyana. It was short and Jacobs went on the back for them, banged it through backward point before with a poor delivery. And Guyana 94 for 6 and over number 16. Jacobs is on 4 and Condon is on 1.
What is good by Jacobs is that he stood still. There was no unnecessary movement at the crease. And he was able to pounce on this short delivery. It had some width. He hit it just to the left of Darren Bravo at backward point. That's a great shot.
It was indeed. He came down a bit, you know. Now the long off is in. White third man. There's a backward point. There's a cover. Cover on the boundary. Long off, long on. Middle wicket just inside the circle. There's a square leg and a short fine leg. Here's Embert. Comes in now to bowl to Jacobs. This little shot comes from the pad. Looking to flick the ball to backward third. Comes from the pad and goes down. So the square leg position backward. And I'm proud Gregory Brothers has got some more work to do. He signaled out Guyana at the end of over number 17 to 95 for 6. This is the latest score. Where did you? 3 overs to go.
Guyana has got everything to play for here. It's the final. There's no coming back. You've got to put runs on the tin. You know, Trevon Griffith and Christopher Barnwell were the two guys who sort of gave them some hope. I just feel that, you know, this Guyana team, they've got an X factor to them. Some one of these guys, you know, have to come. A cameo, whether it's Jacobs, whether it's Crandon, somebody's got to play a cameo and get them to a total that they can work with.
Now, 3 overs left now. You're 90. If you're the captain of the side, what would you ask your team to give you to work with?
From a batting perspective, yes. At least a run aboard. That 18 runs, you know, 195, you get close to 102. You know, if you have a good offer within the, you can easily find yourself between 150 and 140. This sort of positive vibe I will be given to my team in this sort of situation.
Here we go. So we're going to have Graham Barber coming into the attack again. It's been a wonderful display of cricket from Trinidad and Tobago. They look invincible here, really. And Barber, how many overs has he bowled? He's bowled 2 overs, so he's done for 12. Gabriel has got 1. And in he comes on his way to bowl to Jacob. Jacob back to base, swipes the ball, goes outside the outside. But the slow delivery played it early and taken by Ramden, the keeper. So it's kept from 95 for 6 and over number 18. Got another question for you. How good is Ramden as a captain, in your view?
I think he's very good as a captain. He's had the responsibility of captaining. He's captained the West Indies under-19 team. He's played the role of vice-captain for Trinidad and Tobago, you know, while I was at the helm.
Right.
And he's proposed the tactical aspect of the game. I endorse him as captain. I think he's just going to work on the human relations side.
There's the delivery, which is picked up. A throw ball from Bravo, straight down to backward point, and there's no run. Score has gone up by 1 to 96.
Just for a second, is this side of understanding his players and being able to spend more time with them off the field, understand what makes them tick, because those are the little things that will give you the edge. Most captains in the world today, they're sound tactically. But you've got to try and extra connection with your to make the difference.
The management of your human resources is vital. I agree with you on that. Problems sometimes even in the corporate world. 96 for the loss of 6. And here we go. It's going to be Bellwood. He starts his run. Comes up now. He's in both the Crandon. Crandon drives magnificently to cover for 4. That was crushed away. What a shot. Perhaps the shot of the night. Picked up and struck to it beautifully through it to cover. That went across the court, seemed like a shot from a gun. And what a way to be able to down 100 for 15.
A powerful shot there by Crandon. And that is what he's capable of. Yes, he chooses the option more times than not to the leg side. But this was a full delivery out. Him choosing the option on the offside. It was hit with real power all along the ground to the left of the man at cover, beating the guy on the sweeper boundary on the offside.
100 for 6, over number 18, Crandon is 5. Here's Dwayne Bevel, comes in again to bowl to Crandon, in bowl to Crandon. Crandon is getting a slow ball, pushes on to backward point for a single. Tremendous use to the slow delivery. Rose 101 for 6, over number 18. The handball captain Stevenson and Barbados, who said, Peter said, started up, but just the throw ball is used quite a lot. What do you think so?
It is. You know, you're playing an innings, you're into a particular mode as a batsman. You're expecting the ball to have a certain amount of pace, and when you don't get that pace, it pushes you to adjust as a batsman. And when you're looking for power, that is a big challenge.
As Barbo comes up now, in bounce to Jacobs, full, and he swipes, the ball goes outside the outside, taken by the keeper. That was another slow delivery from Marvel. He was deceived by the change of pace again.
And the difference is Jacob obviously choosing the option, which is to swing to legs. I would prefer him trying to hit the ball straight. When he's at his best, he's very powerful down the ground rather than square off the wicket. So I expect Jacob to understand that Bravo is bowling a nice off-stump line, and his better option would be straight or to the offside.
Last ball of over number 18, 101 for 6. Jacob is 5. Barber turns on, starts his run, comes in on his way again. So the right-handed Jacobs, and to this delivery, he hits the ball and drives off the second. The race is on, and the return is high. When he gets home, had that been right over the bales, the keeper had to jump and put it down. The ball came in from short fan leg, and Jacobs is back for second. So we've completed over number 18, down 103 for loss of 6. This is the latest score, both of you.
Coverage today on Wendy's Quick.
I was still in pursuit of 130, 140. Leon.
123. 10 for over.
10 for over. Simon,
10 for over.
Quickly.
I said 115 to 120.
Okay. So we have all of 12 deliveries to come.
And
four
I
wickets
stick,
to go.
And I stick to that.
Okay. And that is
120 maximum.
120. Well, lovely cricket, cricket, lovely cricket. This is the finals between Guyana and Trinidad and Tobago, the defending champions. Things are looking quite good in terms of runs per over here for Trinidad and Tobago. Will Guyana be able to defend whatever runs they put on the board? We shall see. Returning back to cricket, compliments of the cricket show. Don't forget, the next 22 minutes or so, we're going to be breaking away, but we'll be right back to bring the second innings of this match, Guyana versus Trinidad and Tobago.
There's a man going down towards backward square on a short fine leg. Now they've decided to make an adjustment to pull the long off inside the circle so they can push that fielder back on the boundary at backward square. Gabriel, over number 19. Picked up 2 wickets for 14 runs. Comes in to both to Crandon. Crandon is driving smoothly up towards cover, just a single, I believe. Will they come back for the second? No, they won't. As the return comes in from cover, score goes up to 104 for loss of 6. And over number 19, Crandon is on 7, and Jacob is on 7 as well.
Shalan Gabriel has bowled two brilliant overs at the start. You know, it's important for him to come back and bowl a good over for his team and his captain. He's got a very good yorker. He's got team. Wants the guy at square leg because he wants to use the short ball to good effect. We've seen that he's produced a lot of dot balls. I think he's doing a fantastic job.
Well, he comes up now to ball to Jacob. Jacobs backs away, looks to swing the ball away. Over the top of the bat, over the leg stump taken by the keeper. Where in Trinidad and Shannon Gabriel from?
Shannon Gabriel is from a community in South Trinidad called Tableland. It's between Princess Town and Rio Claro.
Mm.
A similar sort of area. That is where Evan Lewis is from. He's a young man, you know, from this area. He's worked really hard to get where he is.
Mm.
You know, he's come through the ranks. He's been in and around the Trinidad Tobago senior team. He's worked hard in the gym. He's and he's constantly improving.
Yes,
I think he's a wonderful
guy. Oh, he is indeed. The next test match that has played, they should be in the side. As he comes up now, he's in and to this. A swing from Jacob, the ball goes by, be taken by the keeper.
Exactly.
And four for the loss of six, would he?
In that case, then Andrew, the rest of the team made up plenty of fast bowlers.
Well, that you'll be pretty fast bowlers.
Yes,
that's very true, indeed. Indeed.
It'll be a 11 of only fast bowlers.
No, that's not true. We just do not say that. That's not true at all. And I'm sure that my good friend, Mr. Gander, will support me for once in his life.
So, halfway number 19. Here is a delivery from Gabriel Zinn and posted Jacob. Jacob is driving the ball, goes by, taking another keeper. Good bowler again, and he's out of his crease as the return comes. This way he's busy going. As I heard, he might have been in some trouble. Looks very indecisive as well.
Yeah, well, Jacob, at this stage, he's got to keep his head. He's looking like a number 11 batsman at the moment. He's not making contact with the ball. He's allowing the pressure to get to him. He's got another batsman at the other end. Random, he's played some brilliant shots. He's got to try and get to the other end. If it's not happening for you in a 2020 match, you've got to keep your head, stay still, and get to the other end.
Well, the square leg has come in now. The long off is in position. So one would think he's going to pitch the ball up here. There we go. There's Gabriel. Over number 19. Two balls to left. Comes in to both to Jacob. Jacob's looking to paddle the ball around. This is four cricket. This is ugly cricket. And the ball goes by to be taken by the keeper. You're shaking your head. What are you shaking your head about?
I mean, you've got four guys who are standing on the 50-yard circle. You've got a fast bowler who... You know, it's just very simple for you to defend the ball on the offside and get a single.
Yeah,
it's not happening for you. But the other thing that is disappointing is we've got Crandon on the non-striker's end. And not for one moment he's gone down the wicket and sort of guided him in this situation.
Well, the TV commentators have all picked Trinidad to win. Here is the last ball of this over number 19. He comes up now and both pitch up and driven up the cover, just a single. And Jacobs will keep the strike, ball pitched up and driven down to cover for one. The rate is 5.53 at the end of over number 19. That 105 for 6 wickets, and it is good division.
Good over by Shannon Gabriel, and it will be very disappointing for him not to bowl his full quota. In fact, he has.
Yes,
this is his last over. So he's done a fantastic job for his team. It's up to Dwayne Bravo now to finish things off. I really think that keep a runner ball, you know, is what Diana should be looking at in this stage of the inning. Jacob not playing that over very well. The worrying thing is that he's on strike for this over against Dwayne Bravo. He must get to the other end.
Talking about Simon Gabriel, did you discover him?
Well, in fact, to some extent, yes. He was discovered through the club.
Okay.
And straight away, from the pace that he was bowling, he recognized that he was a cut above.
Look at last over the boundary rolled by Dwayne Bravo. Comes up now, he's in, bowls to Jacob. Jacob is swinging outside the off, and the ball goes high to be taken by the keeper. I say, it looks to me as if Jacob is standing with a needle.
He's done this on about 7 or 8 occasions now, attempted to slug the ball on the leg side. The deliveries are all just outside the line of the off stump. He's about that. He's not helping the cause of Guyana. This is important run that may prove useful for Guyana in the end.
Five balls are left. Stop him here, Jacobs. He's really looked ugly. He's on 8 from 12. 5 are left. 105 for loss of 6. There's Bravo comes in to both to Jacobs, and Jacobs gets one with his drag through by the wicket for one. Will he come back for a second? I don't think he should. He's just allowed maybe Crandon to see what he can do. So the four to come, 106 for loss of 6. Jacobs is 7.
Good thing that Crandon is on strike now. He's got 4 deliveries to make the most of it. If you look at the line in the last 4 balls, every single delivery is outside that off stump. You can set yourself pretty much, and he's either bowling one with good pace, and then he's mixing it up with his slow ball. So these are the sort of things that should be on the top of your mind. You've got to pick your gap. There's a big gap in the extra cover region. There's a big gap at Cow Corner.
Here we go. There's Bravo. Comes in to bowl to Crandon to this area. Pitched up. Offside the off, and he goes for a swing as well. The ball goes by to be taken by the keeper. And Darren Gander holds his head.
Well, again, you know, I can't understand what is happening here. It's pressure, yes, you know, you're under pressure to score. It is not that you don't have a chance of bowling Trinidad and Tobago, you still have a chance. That is why I'm thinking this should produce a better response to this bowling.
I agree with that. Well, 106 to loss of 6, 19 overs and 3 balls, the rate is 5.44. Guyana will have to do better here in my view. Here is Bravo, comes in again, Dwayne Bravo, he's up to wicket, bowls to Crandon, gets five. A wider score by the umpire, so at least Guyana will get a run, 107 for loss of 6. What was Bravo trying to do there?
I think it was a slower delivery. You know, he tried to change the line. This was the first delivery that he bowled straight up. I think it was a slower ball he was attempting. It probably didn't come out right. but it never proved to get a wicket. I mean, if there was some level of contact, I didn't think he would have the power to carry it over the fence. So luckily for Crandon as well, he didn't make contact.
107 to loss of Spectres. Babel comes into both of Crandon. Crandon has fallen, drives in the air, that's gone miles. Well, Babel takes the catch. The ball is coming down on the right, and Babel! Does he take the catch? No, he doesn't. Oh, my God. He didn't look in position. It was in there for a long time. And in the end, the catch is not taken, and he throws it under the ninth and out of six.
Well, a difficult chance. He had to judge this catch. It was behind the umpire on the non-striker end. It was very important for him to set the example, but he's a better fieldsman than that. Nonetheless, Trinidad Tobago still have control of this game.
109 to loss of six. Did the batsman cross?
Yes, they ran two.
They ran two. Yes, they did. Yes, they did, because Crandon got nine now. So four to... Oh, well, in comes Babo up to the wicket now. He's in both to Crandon. And he swings it, and swings it mightily over the wicket for six. Well played for him. That's a good shot from... Hit that very hard indeed, over the top of the wicket, that's gone for six. And all of a sudden he can pick up the banner flag and stands on the far side of the ground. They want to come 115 for six.
He's in the better of the two matches on this occasion. Crandon said that he's more skilled. He's given himself two options. He has seen him play an excellent cover drive through the offside. He's made contact with the ball on most occasions. This time, Bravo, it was his slower delivery, and he dispatched this to the deep middle defence for six.
Last ball, here's Drain Bravo, comes in to ball to Crandon. Up to the wicket now, in both to Crandon. Crandon is going to ball to him on the pad, and they will get what will be, I believe, a run. But good ball in, it was bang on target, and Crandon able to get one. So at the end of over number 20, Trinidad and Tobago winning the toss and fighting down at the back. 116 for the loss of six, and the evidence for that score, I would think Trinidad and Tobago will feel very, very happy indeed.
Trinidad and Tobago would take this score any day. In a final, if you've got to chase 116 runs to win a match in a 2020 game, you would take that. It's less than a runner ball. You know, Trinidad and Tobago, they've played the extra batsman. There's no reason why they shouldn't go on to win this match. The conditions here, the pitch excellent for batting. We've seen history go in favor of Trinidad and Tobago based on the outcomes of matches played here previously. Teams chasing, they have gone on to win most of the matches, batting second, and I just feel this tournament, they've done, you know, a good 20 overs so far in the field. It's a time for them to go out there and to win this final again.
Well, we have a gentleman, the first of the innings with Trinidad and Tobago having defended 20 overs, I say, pretty well in my estimation. And the predictions first before we go into the scorecard, Leon, was 115 to 120. That was Simon.
Simon,
I have to tip my hat to you there. You got 116, so one better than 115. So I have to give it to Simon on this occasion.
Simon was the man.
So let's hear from Simon here for briefly before we give the scorecard and then your comments.
Yeah, well, when I saw they had three wickets down for 27 runs, I said they wouldn't pass 120. And I've never seen this Gabriel bowl so hostile, you know, but he's bowling very fast in those four overs. Although the men can't come to terms with his bowling, or they just can't play him, but I didn't think Gabriel is so fast as that.
Yeah, the guy
Gabriel is not as fast as Best or any of those West Indian bowlers.
I am not so sure. Tonight, he bowled with a lot of pace. He made Dana Ryan, who is huge, become really, really small. He had him down there scrunching up, as we say back in the island. He was scrunching up. Salmon was running. The guy was pacing.
Yeah.
And I'm saying West Indies' future looks good in the pace bowling department. With Gabriel,
you think he's bowling about 90 miles an hour?
I think he's up there. He's with the big boys, trust me. Holder, another youngster, he's up there with the big boys. Roach, Bess, and I'm not taking away, you know, anything from Rampal. He gets a little big there, but I think we have some firepower right now in the West Indies. And sooner or later, we're going to have to pick at least three of those fast bowlers. If Sammy's going to be in the team, as he might have to come up to take the all-around spot. And our four fast bowlers might have to rattle out these guys on wickets that are favorable. Trust me, I'm not just picking four fast bowlers because I have four fast bowlers who are bowling fast and they're erratic like a Newton Dove. But then I'm going to let you give the scorecard.
Yeah,
it's worrying times for me with two of our batsmen who are going to Australia running from Gabriel. And we know Australia have a lot of pacey fast bowlers as well. Dion was running, Sawan was running, and they are on the tour to Down Under. But let's keep it there for now so we can get the scorecard.
I want to take a little hit at the Guyanese approach. That those two overs, they approach it badly. They need not be swinging like that. Just get back onto ball, get a single. What is the rush to try and hit the guy out of the park? The guy was bowling well, and like you said, in Gabriel, the West Indies future looked good. We talk about Jason Holder, and there's another guy out of Jamaica, Cottrell. I think with these guys around, West Indies pace attack looks good.
What was your prediction?
123.
Okay.
I say around about 123. But let me give the scorecard, because the Guyanese were, when the innings closed, they had 116 for 6. Christian, he was caught. Emirates and bowled Badgley for 5. Griffith with a number of lines, he was run out by Pollard, a beautiful hit from the deep for 29. Sawan, again failing, he was caught. Simmons bowled Gabriel for 5. Dean Ryan, he was caught. Wicketkeeper Ramdin bowled Gabriel for no score. Barnwell, he was caught. Bravo bowled Emirates 32. Leon Johnson, he was caught. Simmons on the second attempt bowled Emirates for 1. Crandon, he was not out and 16. Jacobs was not out and 9. There were 19 extras, 4 binds, 10 whites, and 5 no balls. 19, a total of 116 at 5.80. The bowling, Gabriel, 4 overs, no maidens, 16 runs, 2 wickets, an economy rate of 4.00. Badgley, 4 overs, 21 runs, 1 wicket, an economy rate of 5.25. He allowed 2 whites. And Ryan, 4 overs, 26 runs, no wicket. Economy rate of 6.50. Bravo, DJ Bravo, 4 overs, 31 runs, no wicket, 7.75. And Red Emirates, 4 overs, 18 runs, 2 wickets, at 4.50. So there you have it. 116 for 6. I think it's a cakewalk for Trinidad and Tobago. I think they will lose about 5 wickets in doing so, the most.
Well, with Trinidad powerhouse, that should be no problem knocking off 116, 117 runs.
But Guyana are known to be able to fight, and I think they will definitely fight. In Jacobs.
Yeah, but they don't have the bowling like Trinidad. They don't have the bowling like
they
Trinidad.
They got good bowlers too. Because on the Ryan tonight, was manhandled. And Bradley was not as effective, apart from what is Emirates is the guy, not Emirates. Gabriel was the man for Trinidad and Tobago. It shows that the wicket is taking some pace. Whether or not Barnwell can use the wicket to get the most of his bowling, I would think, is left to be seen. So I'm looking for Jacobs and Barnwell to do the most of the bowling. Dean Ryan, Bishu, and Perumal are good spinners as well. Whether they can handle the batting power of the Trinidadians is left to be seen.
Yeah, because they have the Bravo. Bravo is a powerhouse. And then we have all-rounder. Simmons is a...
The two brothers are batting well.
Right.
And Simmons is also batting well.
Yeah.
And the wicketkeeper, Ramdin, is also doing well. And you have Pollard, to qualify.
Pollard, yes. That's the one I was thinking of.
Pollard. So you, is that a total that is not gettable? But let's see if they get a false start, how they will react. And if Bravo goes early, meaning Darren Bravo goes early, how, and the pressure comes on Dwayne and Ramden, how they react. And Pollard misses one. See, let's see if they lose a few wickets, what will happen. But
okay, who's Trinidad going to be opening
ball,
with? Runs Simmons and who do you open for Trinidad?
Simmons will go with, is it? Can't remember, because they don't have in the, Perkins in the mix today. They probably will go with Utley, is it? Simmons, Lewis, they'll go with Lewis. I think they'll
okay.
go with Lewis tonight. Bravo will come number three, Darren, and Dwayne will come number four, Randy will be five, Pollard will be six, Jason Muhammad will be seven, Emmerich will be eight, Narine will be nine, Vajra will be 10, and Gabriel will be 11. So they'll open with Simmons and Lewis. Lewis looks good, a little young, well compact player. Let's see how he goes. But Simmons tend to be rash at time. He can come good or he can come very bad. So let's see if they, if in Jacobs and Crandon, they can break through the batting, the backbone of the Trinidadians. But I doubt the score is more than gettable. And with Trinidad's record, I don't think this should cause a problem. They may lose a few wickets, but that should not pose any problem to them whatsoever.
Okay. So let's hear from Henry. Ivo, let's hear your comment on that.
I think it's over at the shout. Four hosts that Trinidad has here. They've shown that they're true champions. They show that, you know, in the Caribbean, we're going to need a mixture of a team to really, really beat them. In my mind, with Gale in the mix, I think we'd have had a better finals with Jamaica versus Trinidad and Tobago. Mind you, stranger things have happened in cricket.
Yeah.
They might very well be overconfident, knowing they're chasing a small total.
Right.
And like Leanne said, early wickets can put you behind the clock.
Yeah.
If the truth be told, on paper, what I'm seeing before me, this should be a walk in the park. I cannot see the experience
that,
of Bravo.
That's my thinking also.
Bravos.
What's the reason
the
why Gale didn't play for Jamaica?
But play is about to begin, however, so it's Stephen Jacobs picking up the attack. And Lewis is...
I'll take it from the alien when it comes. We're a little bit behind.
Okay, so you asked the question. Gale played for Jamaica before, but he...
Played
two matches.
Okay. And what about Ram Paul? Why is he not playing for Trinidad?
He's sick. Ram Paul is sick.
Okay. Gentlemen, we're going to be breaking away here now for a short while. We have about 50 minutes or so, and then we'll break away and come back. But let's just go ahead and pick up the commentary here.
Simmons, it'll be outside the off-stump. Let's it go by. So it's the keeper. Setting exercises, waiting on the next delivery from Jacobs. A lot of chat, a lot of encouragement behind the stump for Jacobs. As he bowls to Simmons and squares him up, takes the edge. Goes past the first clip. Leon Johnson running away towards the boundary. Put them all. And that's two very fortunate runs. And a shot in the dark.
Yes, indeed. And these are the kind of things that really have to go for you if you're going to win a score after making such a low total. The left of Simmons and Trinidad and Tobago.
Jacob, still with the one slip, comes in again, right arm over the wicket, high arm action, into bowls, the Simmons is on the front foot, pushing it away out towards Starwan at cover. Starwan falling yet again to the pole shot, short delivery, and it cuts up to him quicker than he expected. Miscue throw, almost one-handed. He was taken at a mid-wicket for five. There was 52 from Christopher Barnwell and 29 from Trevor Griffiths. Jacobs bowls to Simmons and he's just content to push defensively. Back along the pitch and this time it's the Sarwan again trotting in from cover to pick up. Fernando Bigo's target 117 after limiting Guyana
to 116 for 6. 2 wickets for Gabriel, 2 for Emirates. 1 for Samuel Padre. Simmons with on Jacobs on the front foot, driving past the outside edge. The gloves up, Christian. It's a good over so far from Stephen Jacobs that needs to be completed with a wicket to really lift the spirit of the Guyanese.
Yes, indeed. Looking for this wicket. Trying to pass the bat.
Last ball of the over from Jacobs to Simmons, and he's pushing defensively away out towards the back foot point. But for that leading edge that went through a set of flips, it would have been a maiden over. But the first over has produced two runs. Trinidad and Tobago needing 170 for victory. They are two without loss after one over.
Good start for Gary and a Bannon target. Simmons having to think about it, not like a couple nights ago when he was off to a flyer. As I said, it's a funny kind of score. 118 with 116 actually. Remember that game against Guyana in the Winter Islands, and a similar kind of score, and Guyana only got there with the last. Although this is a beautiful wicket and an excellent batting condition, but Trinidad may not quite know how to put it, experience that they are.
I suspect that having seen the Windward Islands and Guyana in that picture where Guyana scrambled home, as you mentioned, of the last ball, as it is Christopher Barnwell taking up the attack from the northern end, the media centre. They may very well decide, as you mentioned, the attitude they adopted against Barbados, to just go after the bowling and remove any chance of Guyana of fighting all the way to the wire. It might involve taking a few risks, but I would not be surprised to see Evan Lewis looking to play a few shots, the left-hander. Just the two feelers outside the circle at third man and cover. He'll be bowling to Lewis, Christopher Barnwell, with a mid-off cover, backward point, and a slip. There's a short fine leg, a backward square leg, and a mid-on. So Barnwell, top scorer, will come in now to bowl to Evan Lewis. Round the wicket, and squares him up, and appeal for LBW from behind his thumb, probably touched down outside the thumb. Got him in a tangle, just looking to play to the onside. Two without loss. Good crowd, very good crowd here at the booth. There's a sizable Trinidad and Tobago contingent. Many of them would have come over, not just for the final weekend of the competition. I've been here for Trinidad and Tobago's last couple of matches here in St. Lucia, Tuesday and Wednesday. Barnwell goes to Lewis short and is watching a wide delivery, called a wide. Four goes on now to three without loss. And the target, a really modest one. And as you said, one of those indie where if you're not careful, you could find
it. And it's very difficult to dig out of, actually.
So Barnwell decided that he's now going to go over the wicket to the left-hander. And look across him even more. Field not having changed around much. Still the one slip in place. Leon Johnson in that slip position goes down now as Barnwell bowls to Lewis. He's in behind it, pushing it away out towards cover. Picked up by Virasamy from Moll, who's been one of the weak links with the for Guyana. His one over yesterday went for 28 runs, suffering at the blade of Chris Gayle, and that really ignited the Jamaican effort. It's interesting to see how he shuffles his bowlers around. What are the options that he will use? Will he go to himself early? Further options. They need only wickets one way or the other. As Barnwell bowls to Lewis short and he's punching it away, fielding on the bounds of Stephen Jacobs. And he's still to get off the mark. It remains a three without loss in the second over.
Yes, we saw from our bowling very quick in that game against Jamaica, which was exactly what Chris Gayle wanted. Chris Gayle pulling back himself and targeting and Pomal. And there was an interesting difference between the women's and the men's game. We explain that a little bit.
As Barnwell, half a ball that Lewis has his way over back to square for four. Short, gentle pace, and he basically could kick his foot and aim to the first boundary of the Trinidad and Tobago run team. We are 7 without loss.
That's a good shot at Barry Lewis, the ball short of the line to get back. This young man has batted very well in the competition. And he's definitely one to look forward to.
He's coming in. William Perkins, who has dropped after a series of poor performances. Foot is the first choice opening batsman with Lendl Kimmon. Barnwell bowls and forcing it away out of the reach of Fillmore, running away towards the boundary. And that's the sort of luck that Diana will need. We need to have those early shots go to hand. It didn't here, out of the reach of probably the smallest man on the field, for Sammy Fillmore, over back. A second boundary for Evan Lewis, and the score moves on to 11 without loss.
Yes, shot outside the arse, and Lewis giving it the treatment, not hitting it exactly where he wanted to. The ball over the head of the shot. Somebody like the height of Jacob, about 6 foot two or so, would have probably pulled it in.
Last ball of the over from Barnwell, and he's driving away out towards deep cover for the single. Will retain the strike. Good over for Trinidad and Tobago and for Evan Lewis. He's got 12 without loss after two overs, and they're up with the
yep, and Guyana already starting to feel the pressure. Six and over is not what they would like to see at that time. They need to build pressure on the Trinidadians and eventually forced them to probably give their wicket away, but this has not been the case, and Lewis definitely has. And for there, we were just talking about the difference which he started, to Woody and the others. In the women's game, we notice that when the spinners get hit, they stick to the basics and they fly the ball sometimes even higher, and they've been getting success. But in the men's game, the men like Shillingford and Pamore, etc., they go faster and flatter, and then they get pulled like a bad boy.
Yes, the harder they get hit, the flatter they bowl. As Stephen Jacobs starts his second over, bowls to Lewis, and he's getting off a thick outside edge, running away towards third man. Tishu will just take slides and pick up. They'll come back for the second run. The run's going a bit easier off the bat of Evan Lewis, the left-hand man. Always suggested that it's better to have a left-right combination at the crease because it's 14 without loss. Simmons on 2, Lewis on 11, Jacobs in his second over, Barnwell 1 over, defending just 116-6 as the Lewis goes over the top, out towards the long arm. The fielder coming around will cut it off, short of catch it, but coming well short. But Griffith out on the boundary. And the score moves on to 15 without loss in the third over.
A good ball set by Lewis, taking the pressure off Simmons. Simmons will be pleased with that, because not all the time he wants to be. He's just throwing a caution to the wind. So this gives him time to settle down.
Simmons, 2 of 6 deliveries, waits on Jacobs. Goes to the right hand, goes backing away, and Jacobs following him with a quicker and flatter delivery, not giving him the room to play the either go over the top on the offside or pulls the leg. There's a deep square leg, and there's a long arm as Jacob continues to playing from the crease, back along the pitch. Good bowling here by Jacobs. In the second over, he has none for 5. Trinidad and Tobago at 15 without loss, need 102 more from 17 overs and 2 balls. The ball from hand to hand passes the umpire. Bowls to Simmons, hoisting that away for a big 6 over wide long on. Out to where the fireworks are located. Maybe he's starting to ignite the fireworks a bit early with that massive 6. Trinidad and Tobago up to 21 without loss with 1 delivery left in the third over.
Tremendous blow by Simmons, but nicely into line. Jacob must have been a bit deceived with Simmons, the very competitive nature of Simmons. At this time, he runs into it and way over the long on boundary for 6.
He's on 8. As Jacobs bowls to him, and he's getting a short ball, punching it away out through cover for 4. So there's all a sense that they're releasing the shackles right now. Trinidad and Tobago, 6 and 4 to end of the over from Stephen Jacobs. It's 25 without loss after some 3 overs on Windy's Cricket Radio.
Coverage today on Windy's Cricket Radio in association of Rubis. Get Rubis, get going. And United Insurance. You're in safe hands with United.
That target is and 17 to the Bosejo Cricket Ground, where we've seen some really intriguing cricket since from that very first match, a low-scoring encounter where Jamaica prevailed over Guyana. Guyana shot out for less than 90. Who would have thought that 4 days later they would be back 186 against the same Jamaican team and would have been able to get it to get to this final?
Yes, very absorbing cricket from the very start. We've seen down and a lot, and at times we've seen lots of runs, we've seen beautiful batting, we've seen outstanding fielding, and of course we've seen a marvelous crowd.
great atmosphere.
Runs for beat. Could you imagine what it would have been like if the wind was going to find us together with Trinidad and Tobago? And empty seat in the house, either on the grass bank or anywhere else. Was really Runs for beaten. He's replaced Christopher Barnwell for more, really with no choice other than to explore the pursuit of the early wicket. Barnwell's first over went for 10 runs, and now Trinidad and Tobago got 25 wickets. He's beaten, and he runs through the crease, and with him not entirely right as he was playing the ball. One of a young talented cricketer from the region in Evan Lewis, and he's marking that run all over again. They picked up some 6 wickets in the series so far. Economy rate of almost 8 runs per over, which is high, but he's shown some good hostility at 2 for 25 yesterday, despite the carnage. And here he comes now, the ball, his first delivery, into Lewis, short of a length, and shaping as if he wanted to play the pole shot, and then just stood in that half-crouch position to play into the offside. Just to emphasize how good a surface this is. You can trust the pace, trust the bounce, and certainly the pitch as prepared here by Kent Crafton. I think the authorities will be very, very happy with what they've
done. Yes, indeed. He's kept the ground in excellent condition throughout 2012, and it's marvelous coming into 2013.
As beaten bowls to Lewis short, and he's looking to slash it away. Misses, and it's through to the keeper going over the leading edge. And so look at the flash, that one away over backward point. Bit of extra pace here from deep, really bending his back, angled across the left hander, and take it head high. Side there with Christian. Christian was the first wicket to fall in the Guyanese inning. Went for just 5 off the bowling of Patrick, caught by Emirates. Sarawan, caught by Simmons of Gabriel. Dionoran, caught by Ramsden of Gabriel for no score. Look at the run out by Pollard, directed from cover for 29. Beaten, goes to Lewis, short ball. He's ducking under it, lets it go through to the keeper. Good short ball as well, not sailing over his head. Wide, but it's one bouncer for the over. And the score remains at 25 without loss in over number 4.
Beaten, to me, is one of the signs of this tournament. Griffiths looking pretty good. He's been looking good. And now this Beaten. He really looked good. He's got nice rhythm, nice high action, pace, enthusiasm, and definitely he's one to look forward to.
Ian Bishop has suggested that he will be the next fast bowler from Guyana to play Test cricket. He'll be able to fulfill that prediction, that expectation, as he bowls to Lewis. Pull shot in the air! Chance for the wicket here. He's running forward to Dylan Christian. They collide! A terrible mix-up between the keeper and the bowler. When you need things to be going your way, Beaton takes a blow in the face as well, and a blow as well to Guyana and their chances of making Trinidad and Tobago wobble.
Just a short ball, and with wind for it, not very high, but falling almost straight back onto the stump, and here comes Beaton. For the catch as well as the wicketkeeper, virtually over the stumps, and Beaton seems to have some kind of injury, unfortunately, to his face.
Well, there might have been a glove in as that collision occurred. I'm just wondering if anybody called, if there was no call. He got an elbow in the left eye, and as the ball bobbled out, the Trinidad and Tobago players and the fans would have been. But surely somebody would have called, whether it was the enthusiasm of Beaton to take the catch off his own bowling. Either way, he missed out on a wicket, Guyana missed out on a wicket, and that would have been something to keep them in the match.
Yes, indeed, it would have. But Beaton, in all his enthusiasm, did not see the wicketkeeper come in, and you're quite right, Fazer. There was no clear call, or if there was, somebody to the instruction.
Well, gentlemen, we're going to be leaving you momentarily, and we're going to be asking you folks to join us for the completion of this match. We're going to be here for the entirety. But as per rules, 3 hours per session, and we're coming up just about a minute away from the first session. But we're going to ask you to dial back in, those who are listening to us via the telephone, and those who are getting us via the internet. It's blogtalkradio.com/thecricketshow.
And we're going to be asking you to join us in just about, say, 30 seconds. We're going to be going away, but we will be right back.